Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, looky here. A minute past the hour, and I'm actually behind the microphone. Hey, Bob, where were you last night? Oh, getting thrown out of a meeting. No, really.
Oh, God.
I tweeted and Facebooked and everything, and News Ninja Susan put up a notice last night that for those of you who happened to miss the notice, I was gone. I happened to find out at the last minute, that there was a meeting across the river about this mountaintop removal operation that's going to begin as the crow flies, maybe 3, 4, 5 miles from where I am. And we can hear the blasting. And it's huge. Ultimately, it'll be some 3,000 acres or so. That's a lot of mountain to blow away. So I went over. I took Ferg with me. You know, I'm not trying to put Ferg in any sort of dangerous situation or anything. I didn't know there'd be any danger, but trying to let him see what it means to stand up for where you live and not let yourself be run over, right? So we went over to Oak Hill to what used to be the Holiday Inn and has now been repurposed as the Holiday Lodge. Ack-ack-a-dack, Pooh-Bah. Ack-ack-a-dack, Flintstone. You know, the lodge. And sat down, minded our own business. And you got to understand a little bit about this coal business. This is a company called Fraser Creek Mining. But like all coal operations, Fraser Creek Mining is not what it appears to be. It's owned by a giant consortium from, I kid you not, India. Fraser Creek Mining is owned by Shashi and Ravi Ruia, who have a company called Essar, E-S-S-A-R, Essar, of Mumbai, India. They are the Koch brothers of India, if you will. And Ravi and Shashi Ruia have decided that I don't have a right to live in peace in my home anymore. They've decided that the little tourism economy that generates some several million dollars a year in revenue for Fayette County doesn't matter. Because Shashi and Ravi Ruia, who are billionaires, have not realized that they're rich enough already. Yeah. Really. So we went over, we sat down, and there were a bunch of us from Fayetteville, me from over here on this side of the river, Ferg, people from a little community called Beckwith, people from another town called Oak Hill, where the meeting was being held, all over the place. And so the meeting was getting ready to get started, and the two company executives One of them looked like a sort of Colonel Sanders gone to seed. Well, they first thing, the fellow saw a woman holding up her cell phone. You know, sometimes it's hard to see the screens, and she was looking at her screen. "You're not recording, are you?" The poor little lady said, "What? No." And he says, "Well, first thing I want to do here is I'm going to send around a sheet, and everybody's going to write down who they are and where they're from. And then we're going to introduce ourselves." He came around to me, and I said, "I'm Bob Kincaid, Danstead, West Virginia." And so we get done with the introductions. He says, "We got people in this room we don't want here. I see we have Bob Kincaid from Anstead, and you're not welcome. Leave." And I said, "Wait just a minute. This meeting's by invitation only." No, he talked like that. "What do I gotta do to make you understand I want you to leave? You're not welcome." I was just sitting there. I said, "You're saying that I'm not Fayette Countyan enough? You're saying what you're doing doesn't impact my life?" "This meeting was called for people who live right near our operations. And you and the rest of them people that ain't from around here, you can leave."
Really?
And this went on for a little while. We jousted a little bit. I wasn't going to... Yeah. So eventually we just picked up and walked out. Where we were met by the media. Where we found out that the purpose of the meeting was to pass out Walmart gift cards and a flat screen TV and some Lowe's gift cards. You know, the Romans bought Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, after all. The Beards Fork community of Fayette County got bought with Walmart gift cards and Lowe's gift cards and a chance at a TV. But everybody didn't get it. No, this is a cheap-ass, penny-pinching, thug-ass coal company. They didn't give everybody their one. They gave them a chance at one. They had door prizes and drew numbers like a Tupperware party. No, really. Now imagine that. If you ever wondered what it's like to live with coal companies, this is a little taste. Now, we all know, because I've told you, that my family have been in this area since about 1730, if you're only counting the white people. There may be a couple of microns of Indian blood in my veins, too, which has been here for 20,000 years or so. But the Indians, dot, not feather, the Indians have decided that I'm not from around here. And they've decided, and see, just so you'll know, their mining operations are 3.5 miles from Fayetteville, West Virginia, 3.5 miles from Oak Hill, West Virginia, and like I said, maybe 5 to 7 as the crow flies from me. We don't count. We don't matter. Get this. Their blasting operations are about 1.3 miles from the wellheads of the entire drinking water supply for Oak Hill, West Virginia. But people from Oak Hill weren't allowed to attend. I told you a little bit ago, a few nights ago, what was it, Monday? I'm a little punchy. I've been on the road since 4 o'clock this morning. I had to drive over all the way over to Ripley, West Virginia to pick up the lovely Agnes. That meant I was up at 4 o'clock. Drove over to Ripley, picked up Agnes, drove back down to Charleston, sat in a hearing in Charleston dealing with the same Indian coal company, where we were trying to get a stay of their permit pending a full hearing. Of course, the Department of Environmental Protection is, at best, a rubber stamp, and at sleaziest, a tarted-up trollop for the coal industry. But we sat through a hearing there for about an hour trying to get the stay. We lost. Then we drove home and took the road less traveled and went up the other side of the river so that we could go by the place where they're blowing the bejesus out of the mountains. Dear God. You can see it through the trees from the highway. Where there used to be a mountain, now there is this reared up wall of death and desolation that is crowned by a precarious stack of rock. And that's only one tiny part of the whole operation. The road that goes in there is prominently marked with a big white and red sign that said ambulance entrance. No mention of ambulances for the people who live near there. But why will they need them? They'll be busy over shopping at Wally World. Or maybe one lucky family about to be blasted to smithereens. Maybe they can turn up their new flat-screen TV loudly enough to not hear the blasts when it rattles their windows, cracks their foundations, and destroys their well. Because they don't have what we like to call around here city water. So, just doing the basic math, I think I'm on my 14th hour of the day today, right now. So if I get a little dippy, punchy, or stupid somewhere along the way, you'll know that exhaustion is finally catching up with me. This is what we face in West Virginia. This is what we face in the resource colony. I live in a place where the elected representatives of my state will not even stand up for the people who live here against a company from India. Today you're in the hearing on the stay. The sleazy-ass lawyer for the coal company was, if this permit is stayed, we'll have to start laying off people, and the company will lose revenues. And I thought, oh, if only. Because I would have loved to have just stuck my hand up and said, point of order, will you be measuring those losses in dollars or rupees? And I want to make something clear here. I have incredible admiration for the cultures, varied as they are, of the Indian subcontinent. And everything that's been generated. Buddhism was born there. Jainism, that reverences life, was born there. Hinduism, that doesn't believe in the killing animals and is one of the few successful vegetarian cultures on the planet, was born there. The art, the architecture, the mythology, the philosophy. If anybody has a working understanding of what it is to be truly, truly human all the way down to the question of soul, it's probably folks from the Indian subcontinent. But you see, several centuries back, Westerners, primarily England and to a certain extent Portugal. That's very true, Lottie. A devastating caste system was also born there. And I guess it's been transferred a world away and without really being consulted. We hillbillies have been put into a caste that is of no consequence if we are blown to Mars. This is the subcontinent that gave us Gandhi. But like I said, their culture was infected by Western culture some several centuries ago, and we introduced to them the Western idea of the profit motive. That's not to say they didn't have it on their own. The cultures of the Indian subcontinent have been doing business for a very long time, and they've been doing so in very successful fashion. But now, after centuries of being abused and assaulted by the West, India is feeling its oats, and it's ready to abuse back and assault back. And so I have elected representatives who will not even stand up for the people of West Virginia, who will not even stand up for America, but would rather sell my home, my family, my future, our culture, our communities, to people from an area who gave to our language, ironically enough, the word thug. And make no mistake, I don't care where they live or how well, Shashi and Ravi Ruia are thuggies, because they are going to strangle my community. They are going to garrote the life out of the economy in this county, what little there is of it. They will poison, they will blast, they will fill the air with carcinogenic toxins, they will make the water unfit to drink, and those poor fools up Beard's Fork who got their Walmart gift card and their TV set, who don't have health care, will suddenly wonder when they begin to get tired more often, more easily, when the breathing comes harder, when the cuts don't heal. And maybe somewhere along the way, some local, somebody will run a blow, oh, you've got cancer. Oh, your kid has leukemia. I'm sorry, your child's gallbladder is burned up. Oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Let's put your 10-year-old on dialysis. But they give us a Walmart gift card and said they wasn't going to bother us. Coal companies lie. Coal companies kill. And forgive me my xenophobia, if indeed that is what it is. But it's bad enough when Americans are killing you, poisoning you, and destroying your community. When your government lets outside foreign countries do it to you, it feels a little bit more like, and this is not eliminationist language, it feels a little more like war. But yeah, I got thrown out of the meeting. But I did manage to get my ugly mug on the local TV news last night, just talking a little bit about how disturbing it was. I don't think the local media were too happy either, because the coal company Well, the coal company wouldn't let them have any information either. They're trying to keep this as far on the down low as they can. By the way, this same operation has been in business down in Kentucky. They have over 20,000 permit violations down there. They make moonscapes where they go. They are not unionized, of course. Listen, just because they're from Mumbai, don't think that Shashi and Ravi Ruia aren't as brutal and disgusting a bunch of union busters and worker despisers as any of them. Shashi, if he's the one on the left at the photo I'm looking at, even has a prototypically classic American beer gut. They are said to be worth $13 billion. Source of fortune, inherited and growing. They really are. They're India's version of the Koch brothers. The brothers' $15 billion revenues SR Group has weathered downturn and embarked on an expansion drive in all its businesses, including steel, oil, and power. As part of a global push, refiner SR Oil bought 50% in Kenya Petroleum refineries and is negotiating with Royal Dutch Shell to acquire three refineries with a total refining capacity of 25 million tons. May offer 10% stake in SR Oil as part payment. In November, clinched $350 million deal with Dabi Group's Warid Telecom to acquire majority stake in its units in Uganda and Congo. Brothers raised $920 million using part of their 33% stake in Vodafone SR, India's third-largest mobile phone operator, as collateral. Recently sold telecom infrastructure business for $450 million to American Tower Corp. Recently acquired American coal mining firm Trinity Coal for $600 million. Also mulling listing of oil and energy business on the London Stock Exchange. Welcome to my world. So, I'm not sure. I know there are meetings coming up. I know there's a big hearing on the permit coming up in April. And this is a long and tormented process because it all is rubber stampery. Ultimately, we may very well win. But there will be a whole lot of setbacks in the front end. But we have to organize, organize, organize. Because, see, every human being who has a job, for instance, whitewater rafting, guiding down the New River, their job is on the line now, thanks to Shashi and Ravi Ruia. Every waitress in every nifty little restaurant, her job is on the line, thanks to Shashi and Ravi Ruia. Because, you see, mountaintop removal doesn't bring jobs, it ends jobs. That's what mountaintop removal does. It destroys communities. It renders once vibrant towns into ghost towns with everything save tumbleweeds, and if the damn things would grow on a mountaintop removal site, we'd have those too. So I may be a little bit busy off and on. I beg your indulgence going forward. But you see the need. You see the need for ordinary working people to organize. I continue to watch, as many, as most of us do, the unfolding of events in Wisconsin. And I am so heartened. I am so impressed by what I see. It is truly magnificent. And little Scott Walker may have gotten himself in a little bit of hot fat, didn't he? You heard about this, I'm sure. You remember when Sarah Palin got punked by someone pretending to be the president of France calling her? Well, apparently, Scott Walker has a streak of Sarah Palin in him. Because Scott Walker got punked, too. Scott Walker got called by a blogger in Buffalo claiming to be claiming to be David Koch. And the thing is, the call goes on for 20 minutes. It goes on for 20 minutes, and Scott Walker just completely swallows it, hook, line, and says, "What? Scott, David Koch is calling me? I'm so special." I'm sorry. I do everything as a redneck voice. Let's just listen for a minute or two. This is too precious not to listen.
Hi, it's Scott Walker.
Scott, David Koch, how are you?
Hey, David. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm very well. I'm a little disheartened by the situation there, but what's the latest?
We're actually hanging pretty tough. You know, this, amazingly, there's a much smaller group of protesters, almost all of whom are in from other states today. The state assembly is taking the bill up, getting it all the way to the last point it can be at where it's unamendable, but they're waiting to pass it to the Senate. But the Assembly Democrats have about 100 amendments they're going through. The state Senate still has the 14 members missing, but what they're doing today is bringing up all sorts of other non-fiscal items, many of which are things that the members on the Democratic side care about. And each day we're going to ratchet it up a little bit. The Senate Majority Leader had a great plan he told them about this morning. He told the Senate Democrats about, and he's going to announce it later today, and that is the Senate Organization Committee is going to meet and pass a rule that says if you don't show up for two consecutive days on a session day in the state Senate, the Senate Chief Clerk, it's a little procedural thing here, but can actually have your payroll stop from being automatically deducted into
Beautiful.
Your checking account. And instead, you still get a check, but the check has to be personally picked up, and he's instructing them, which we just loved, to lock them in their desk on the floor of the state Senate.
Now, you're not talking to any of these Democrat bastards, are you?
There's one guy that's actually voted with me on a bunch of things I called on Saturday for about 45 minutes, mainly to tell him that while I appreciated his friendship and he worked with us on other things, tell him why I wasn't going to budge. Mainly because I thought he's about the only reasonable one over there. I figured if I talked to him, he'd go back to the rest of the gang and say, you know, I've known Walker for 20 years. He's not budging.
Now, what's his name again?
His name is Tim Cullen.
All right. I'll have to give that man a call.
Well, actually, in his case, I wouldn't call him, and I'll tell you why. He's pretty reasonable, but he's not one of us. So I would let him be. I think he is in a position where he can maybe motivate that caucus, but he's not an ally. He's just a guy. He was in the Senate years ago. He was actually the Senate Democrat leader back in the 80s, and Tommy Thompson hired him to be the head of Health and Human Services. He went into the private sector, made real money, and became a little more open-minded. And last fall, he got elected to the Senate seat he was in 25 years ago. And he's
Did you notice that? Went in the private sector and made real money. This guy's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is he? So you're just sitting there playing internet solitaire, or maybe a little internet mahjong. Oh, maybe it's backgammon. I don't know, you're Scott Walker, maybe you're playing a little Left 4 Dead. And your Skype rings, and it's David Koch! Holy cow, David Koch wants to talk to me? And the next thing you know, they're just best buddies. Big props to BuffaloBeast.com. for this magnificent punk job. And you know, you notice how he just eases into that little bit, that intimacy. There's real problems here, though. Big problems for Scott Walker. The paycheck thing, did you hear that? That's a conspiracy. The real kind. Two or more people agreeing, yada, yada, yada. Oh, it goes on and on. He's trying, and he lays out everything. He gave up his whole strategy. And they talked about the consideration of planting agent provocateur. And then somewhere along the way, the phony David Koch, and yes, Spike just noted by email, I guess this makes, seeing as how he got punked so badly, I guess this makes Scott Walker a Koch sucker. Ooh, Spike's mean that way. No, the Walker says they're investigating Democratic senators to see if they're committing ethics violations by accepting union funds. Well, then the phony David Koch says, well, I'll fly you out to Cali and really show you a good time. And Walker says, well, that would be outstanding. Apparently, the guy who called him said, he went through all things are part of a creative process, and he went through a creative process trying to figure out who to be on this prank phone call, and at first he considered being Hosni Mubarak. Now, there was a note, and I haven't seen the follow-up. If any of you have, please alert me, that Scott Walker's office announced that he was going to address the media at 2:30 p.m., which would be 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Anything come of that? This is just precious business. And it goes on. This guy got suckered for 20 minutes. I'm just curious. Let's hear the very tail end of this thing.
"30 years ago, Ronald Reagan, whose 100th birthday we just celebrated the day before, had one of the most defining moments of his political career, not just his presidency, when he fired the air traffic controllers. And I said, to me, that moment was more important than just for labor relations or even the federal budget. That was the first crack in the Berlin Wall in the fall of communism, because from that point forward, the Soviets and the communists knew that Ronald Reagan wasn't a pushover. And I said, this may not have as broad a world implications, but in Wisconsin's history, little did I know how big it would be nationally, Wisconsin's history, I said, this is our moment. This is our time to change the course of history. And this is why it's so important that they were all there. I had a cabinet meeting this morning. I reminded them of that. I said, for those who thought I was being melodramatic, you now know it was purely putting it in the right context.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. Once you crush these bastards, I'll fly out to Cali and really show you a good time.
All right, that would be outstanding. Thanks for all the support and helping us move the cause forward, and we appreciate it. We're doing it the just and right thing for the right reasons, and it's all about getting our freedom back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a little bit of vested interest as well.
Well, that's just it. The bottom line is we're gonna get the world moving here because it's the right thing to do.
All right, then.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Well, if you can say anything at all about the Buffalo Beast, you can say this. He has very definitely learned W.C. Fields' three commandments. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. God, I admire somebody who can keep a straight face through something like that, like he did. He wasn't exposed as a crook. Scott Walker exposed himself as a crook and a right-wing thug. What we suspected, what most of us knew, has now been proven beyond any semblance of question. And I hope the folks in Wisconsin will take it and run with it. And with that in mind, we'll take a little break. It's about 25 minutes before the hour. Take a little break with a little bit of live music from Wisconsin. This from Tom Morello, formerly of Rage Against the Machine. Showed up at the Rock for Your Rights Solidarity concert in Madison. You're going to like this. You're going to like this a lot.
Worldwide rebel songs sing out loud all night long. Hang on, man, it won't be long. Worldwide rebel songs sing.
Worldwide rebel songs sing out loud all night long.
Hang on, man, it won't be long.
Worldwide rebel songs.
All right, one more time through it, and then we're gonna rock this shit. Here we go.
Worldwide rebel songs. Sing out loud all night long.
Hang on, man, it won't be long.
Worldwide rebel song.
All right, here we go.
Rock it.
One.
if you don't have chills, if the little hairs on the back of your neck aren't standing straight up, check your pulse. You may be dead. And you know what? Tom Morello's right. That scares the bejesus out of right-wingers. They're plenty scared. Big time scared. How do I know? Well, let's see. Where is it? Jeffrey Cox is a deputy attorney general for the state of Indiana. Indiana is not Wisconsin. He has no business in this. But he's a right-winger. He's a thug. And upon seeing a tweet from Mother Jones saying, sources in Madison say riot police have been ordered to clear protesters from the Capitol at 2 a.m., Jeffrey Cox tweeted, use live ammunition. That's how Republicans are. That's how right-wing punk-ass fascist thugs are. A deputy attorney general. Get that square. A deputy attorney general for the state of Indiana is calling for the police to fire on peaceful protesting crowds in Madison, Wisconsin, using live ammunition. Mother Jones's Adam Weinstein pressed him on it, and he wouldn't back down. He said, against thugs physically threatening legally elected state legislators and governor, you're damn right I advocate deadly force. There's only one problem. No one has been physically threatened, mentally threatened, emotionally threatened, theoretically threatened, esoterically threatened, existentially threatened. No one's been threatened. This is a crowd that is steeped in the principles of nonviolence and have put it to work. Nonviolence is the only thing that will carry the day. There's a lot of talk about Blair Mountain here in West Virginia. Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers, had an op-ed in the Charleston Gazette recently, in which he waffled around over whether or not Blair Mountain should be saved. And a lot of people talk about, and Blair Mountain is a very important place, but it's important for reasons that most people don't understand. Blair Mountain is where we failed. Not because the other side won, but because we resorted to violence. Our side finally gave in to the coal thugs and resorted to the violent tactics that the coal thugs had already been using, and took up arms and marched toward Logan, West Virginia, carrying guns and intending to shoot it out with the little private army of a horrible thug named Sheriff Chafin. And the moment that the miners took up arms, they lost. Before the first bullet was fired, they lost. And they lost big. And as I have noted on a number of occasions, because they resorted to violence, their movement was crushed like a bug under big businesses and Big Coal's and King Coal's heel. Nonviolence is the only thing that will carry the day. It's the only reason there may eventually be democracy in Egypt. It's the only reason that any of these movements may eventually result in democracy. Nonviolence is the only way that a thug like Scott Walker will be eventually defeated and hopefully removed from office. Nonviolence is all there is. Interestingly, I heard a story on National Public Radio this morning as I was driving toward Dripley, West Virginia, in which an author, a philosopher, political scientist, whatever you want to call him, I can't remember his name now, it was very early, but has authored books on nonviolence, and he is being cited by the organizers in Egypt as part of the reason for their success, because they adopted his analysis and understanding of nonviolence and put it to work. And, of course, everything he wrote about it was based upon his understanding of Gandhi. There's nothing weak about nonviolence. It's terribly strong. It is profound and soul-stirring to behold in its magnificent strength. And yet, a punk-ass assistant attorney general in Indiana so fears nonviolent protesters that he wants them gunned down like animals in the streets. You want the happy ending? The Indianapolis Star reports that Jeffrey Cox has been fired from the office of the Indiana Attorney General. What did Tom Morello say? You're scaring the shit out of them. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Damn, that phone call, that's
Isn't that something, Sandra?
Listen, the thing about that is beyond funny is, I mean, what kind of bubble is that dude in? Does he actually believe half the shit he was saying?
Oh, yeah, he believes every word of it.
Disturbing to me. I'm like, freedom? You know, freedom, I mean, he's doing the bidding of a plutocrat. And,
Well, he sounded a little bit like who was Saruman's little creature in the Lord of the Rings?
All right, yeah.
Wormtongue. Yeah, he's a little Wormtongue.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, you know, of course, I'm sort of skeptical because rule of law seems to be lost. But isn't this man a few laws have been broken there? Like, yeah, let's go to California and. The prank caller said something about our own vested interest. Hello, what more do you need? I mean, is this guy really going to stay?
Oh, well, I didn't play the real humdinger. The phony David Koch said, I suggest you use a baseball bat on him. And Scott Walker says, well, you'd like it. I got a Louisville Slugger in my office with my name on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy seems to be, you know, not the brightest bulb. I'm sorry, and first of all, why don't you get some staff people who know what the hell they're doing? Damn, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's absurd, the bubble that the right wing lives in, they really do.
And the reason he fell for this this punking is because of the bubble too, Sandra.
That's what I'm saying. I just thought, wow, these people... I mean, it's even scarier.
Well, I mean, this is biblical in proportion. Pride, you know, the book says pride goeth before a fall. Well, how much more prideful can you be than to be sitting there at your computer with your Skype turned on and something pops up? David Koch wants to be friends with you. Click. I want to be friends with David Koch. You know?
Well, I mean, apparently the prankster joked with the guy who, you know, the gatekeeper that, oh, my maid lost my phone. Did you read that whole business?
Yeah, I did. That's precious.
I mean, listen... If it wasn't so serious, I mean, it is funny anyway, no matter how serious it is. That shit is off the...
Well, the gatekeeper is without a job this evening, I'm sure.
I'm sure, but damn, I'm with you. Dude was able to hang for 20 minutes with this without... I couldn't do it. I tell you right
now. No, I'd come seven different flavors of unglued.
I don't care if I was talking to Barack Obama. I couldn't handle it. I would lose it. That, more props to that dude for carrying it through. And he sounded like some freak from Omaha, wherever the hell the Koch brothers are from. I mean, it was great. The whole performance, I listened to a fair amount of it. But I'm more concerned about, you know, where's the repercussions? I mean, this guy has to go.
Well, that he does. And frankly, I would say that, I mean, Just because he's a Republican governor and there's a Republican majority in the Wisconsin Senate doesn't mean that all the Democrats are gone. There has got to be a Democratic prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, no,
and this is my ignorance, Sandra, is the attorney general in Wisconsin a Democrat? Can we find out?
Yeah, I don't know, but what I did hear, though, is that apparently there's some fractures happening within his little coalition. Some of the Republicans are, like, freaking out. They're like, oh, no, they want out. So there is those rumors going around. And this didn't help his, I don't care, this couldn't have helped this man's cause, because that's an outrage from the fact that some billionaire can just call up. At the same time, the night before, he was talking about outside agitators. What the hell was he talking to on the phone? What would that be considered?
You and I have talked about it. This is Greek theater stuff. This is hubris in action.
Shit. No, but dude is just, he's hella creepy, that Walker. Ew, the Reagan thing. You know, the whole nine yards. It's
yeah, like, firing the air traffic controllers brought down the Berlin Wall. Damn.
Yeah. And, yeah, no, the connection, I'm like, hello? And it's sort of, it's just the whole conversation was like, you know, just sort of dead-eye conservatism, weirdness. Show you a good time in California. I mean, ew, what in the world? Anyway, yeah, that was funny. But I hear that there's going to be some repercussions on that call, because the ethics violation alone, not to mention his bill. How are you able just to sell public assets like that with no consultation? I know that there has to be some issues with that, because that just begs for, it's just corrupt. You know, that bill is so corrupt.
Yeah, the one that would sell off all the public utilities and so forth?
Yes, I'm saying. I mean, there's no way that can't. I mean, this guy really thought he was just going to slip that madness through, didn't he?
Yeah, that's how they operate. That's they think that, well, I've got power and I'm going to use it. It's all 2005 and George Bush saying, I've got me some political capital and I'm going to spend it.
Well, listen, anyway, yeah, I think that this sort of is a bit of a blow for this freak, because this story is just not, it's kind of gotten out there, which I think is quite interesting.
Well, we know it won't be the Attorney General. Marty, out in your neck of the woods, just told me that the Attorney General in Wisconsin is a repig-licking by the name of J.B. Van Hollen.
Oh.
So that ain't going to happen. So it's going to have to be, well... And you know, this is one of those, Mr. Holder, Eric Holder, courtesy phone, Eric Holder, courtesy phone. This is one of those Department of Justice moments, isn't it?
Well, I'm just saying, there's just no way that this can just stand and this man can just operate business as usual. I mean, it's just an incredible development. But can I mention another billionaire that is just getting on my last half a nerve right quick?
Oh, do please. It's Billionaire Wednesday.
It would be Hank Steinbrenner, the owner.
Oh, George's successor?
Right. Okay, this fool had the nerve to complain about the revenue sharing, because what they're going to have to pay is $133 million. You know, they have the agreement for small market teams. Are you telling me that fool's father died last year? He didn't have to pay 1 cent. Inheritance taxes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Zero.
Not a penny.
Zero. And then he's gonna turn around after taking upteen zillions of dollars from the taxpayers for his palace in New York. I mean, the whole thing just made me feel sick. And I thought to myself, this is what is wrong with this country. These people, like him and all these other billionaires, who are just making their presence known. It is an outrage. At the same time, we've got to listen to some asshole saying that destroying working families is the key to taking care of our budget problems. You know, I saw that poll in USA Today. 2-1, people are like, you know what? We want to be able to negotiate. So I think they may have overreached, I mean, big time. Because No one's forgetting that Obama just gave away the farm to the Richies. And then we got to look at this shit. You don't have to be in the paper or on the internet every day to make the connection, Bob. And I think that these freaks may have overreached.
They always do.
And President Bush, he can, I mean, President Bush, I see, I'm losing.
Yeah, see.
President Obama can stay shut up. He can go grapple with his gay issues. Shut up, stay away. I think it's best if he's out of it at this point.
And it's and I'm glad you did mention it. I mean, that's a nice thing he did with it, with the DOMA. But it also makes me think back and think about the other places he could have declined to defend. And DOMA, he did. Anybody else? Well, I mean, think about it. The national security stuff, no. The torture stuff, no. DOMA, yes.
Well, I mean, it's just the same as it's like the reverse of what the conservatives harp on. I mean, you know, Obama is not stupid. He can sort of give away the farm on, he can decide to help every gay cause going now. It ain't going to make no difference if he's not dealing with the economic dictatorship.
Well, I was going to say, reckon there are any gay 99ers?
Well,
Just asking.
I'm sure I ain't so many of them. Has to be. But, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I was quite happy to see that. But I was more sort of like, oh, here we go. They still have to mention that he's grappling with it personally. I don't give a F. Need I bring up Nina Simone? I don't want to live next to you. I just want my equality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Talk about his personal anything. I don't even know why they mentioned it. Except for he has to always have some either or. That's the thing.
Well, there's always a carrot and a stick.
And it's just kind of like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so, you know, that Walker shit put me in a good mood. That was like the funniest thing. When I woke up this morning, I thought, are you effing me?
Well, but that's the beauty of it, because right-wingers are always so very serious. And they have, you know, they have no sense of humor, and they never see this stuff coming.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Not even a look. They're so full of themselves in their righteousness, I guess. It's incredible. I mean, and this dude just looked. I'm so sick of his face. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who the hell he was. It's like, go the hell away.
I just wish he'd go ahead and get caught in the men's room somewhere or whatever, because, you know.
No, but in the despicable plan of like, oh, I can talk to him, they can yell at me all day, I don't care, you know, to trick these people so he can just, you know, get his instant quorum. I mean,
right.
That was despicable. And let's just hope that everybody in Wisconsin is made aware of this story. And
I've got to be figuring that those 14 senators know about it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
and the other thing, the one that was a little bit squishy.
Yeah,
that he mentioned.
Squishy.
Yeah, dude ain't squishy no more. I think.
Crunchy now. Remember the little thing you read to me?
Yeah.
About the crunchy.
Yeah.
I think our boy is crunchy. I'll never get over that little statement you read. That was some incredible libertarian fucking outrage. I mean, I wish you could send it to me so I could print it up.
Oh God, I gotta find it. I'll try.
No, it was really obscure, but it was. Very, it really gave an insight to what those people are about. Whoever wrote that, it was incredible. But anyway, the only other thing I wanted to mention was that Christchurch earthquake, Bob.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it.
I spent a lot of time in Christchurch. It's a very nice town. You know, it's lovely. And that steeple, I know the church well. And it just fell over, Bob. It's a huge church.
Yeah.
It's not small. Anyway, I just feel so bad. It just seems like it's going to be a huge loss of life going on.
Well, I mean, I heard this morning through my toothpicked open eyelids that the death toll has been raised, and it'll probably continue to go up. And there was mention of no hope for any other survivors being found now.
Yeah, no, you know, 300 missing, although, you know, they can't account for why they're missing. But you know what I'm saying? I just was, I was kind of stunned until I realized that they had that 7.1 in September, which I think they're implying that it shook up a lot of stuff. And this next one was only 5 miles down the in the earth, so it was right on the surface.
Yeah.
the epicenter, and the other one in September was 33 kilometers down. I'm not too sure which measurement it was in, but basically, this earthquake on Tuesday was right near the surface, which would explain why all the buildings, I don't know if you've seen the aerial shots, but I mean, wow, it's pretty outrageous.
It is, and you know, I operate in terms of images and so forth, Sandra, and I would never make light of any of this. But you know, where are the fundamentalist Christians who ought to be noting that was a church? God just whacked a church, because you know, and that these are literalists and everything. These fundamentalists, don't they have to take note? I mean, after all, you know, remember Pastor Hagee Starve said that Katrina was God's wrath on gay people in New Orleans, without noting that the quarter was where a lot of the gay folks are was largely untouched. Where are the fundamentalists when God, because God is the author of these things, when God starts whacking churches?
Well, listen, if you start hearing people referring to that area as Canterbury instead of Christ Church, that might be an interesting, telling change, because, the name itself, you know, should leave some of these fundies wanting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's also known as Canterbury, the area around.
Well, see, I was talking to John Fox last night, Sandra, and I personally believe that they should probably get the leading megachurch televangelist down that way, the leader of that Hillsong Church in Australia, and throw him into a volcano and pacify the gods.
Oh, God. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, there was a huge amount of land shifting, too.
Yeah, this was a ripple up at the surface.
Yeah, no, it was just really an incredible... I don't know. I was just shocked by that church image, though. That's the thing. Only because, you know how it is when you actually...
Yeah,
because
you've walked by it a million times,
yes,
right.
Yes, you know. And it's such a nice city. That's the thing. It's, it's a huge city as far as New Zealand goes in the South Island, right? And it's like, you know, it's a gateway to Antarctica. I mean, it's great. It's a wonderful place. Anyway, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why that city has been, chosen to be annihilated. Because you have a 7.1 and then a 6.3 within a 4 or 5 month span. That's pretty bad.
And the thing is, it doesn't necessarily indicate that it's over.
Well, they keep having these, and that's why they're shutting down with, like, thinking that they're going to find people because... every aftershock is about to bring, I don't know if it has fallen yet, there's another 26-story hotel that is...
get away.
Right, and then, I don't know, that news kind of threw me, I was like, damn.
Well, one of the things that I love about Google Earth, Sandra, is that it's got all that 3D rendering even of the seafloor. And what I found fascinating was to go and look at Christchurch and just sort of follow it up into the ocean... and see what the lay of the land is, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, this kind of stuff sort of confirms what is it called, the Gaia theory, that it's a planetary whole, that it's a cohesive unit.
Right.
And every time something like this happens, I tend to go and look on Google Earth and see, you know, where does this run to? Where does it come from? And it gives you an idea. It just sort of reinforces the fact that, not to get all John Donne, but that, you know, nothing, there is no such thing. And maybe it's worth considering, especially in Christchurch's position, there's really no such thing as an island.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's seismic wise. I mean, isn't that like the Ring of Fire? I mean, it's connected. It's a huge amount of, I mean, when I was in New Zealand, in Wellington, there was an earthquake. You know, it wasn't major, but, you know, I was completely oblivious until someone explained to me that, oh, shit, New Zealand is worse than California. I was like, oh,
Well, and if you look,
no.
if you look on Google Earth, you'll see this ridge that runs from south of the South Island of New Zealand, and it runs all the way up to Pago Pago, and curves off there, and New Zealand is just chunks of that happen to be sticking up above the water.
Yeah, and I know this. The huge one, you know, like created some huge major new fault. The first one. I mean, I don't know. I just it seems to be really volatile around there. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get another major one around there, Japan or somewhere. You know, because it's all kind of linked up. Like,
yeah, it's wobbling. And it, geographically, you know, it's not that far from, well, we don't know. And I think this is one of the critical things to take into account. We don't know, what we're doing to the planet. Everything that, especially Western culture has done to the planet for the last 400 or 500 years, we have done without regard to, after effects or long term effects. We have no idea what massive blasting really does. Remember, we're talking about a chunk of the planet where the French went to, set off nuclear devices time after time after time after time. And the U.S. did a few too.
Yeah, those atolls. Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, no, who knows what our contribution to the instability around there is, but, I know that when I was in the center, Rotorua, you know, you have, I mean, literal, the thermal activity is just like right there, bubbling mud. I mean, it's an incredible stretch of land. So, I mean, the thermal activity around there is pretty impressive. So the earthquakes aren't surprising, but these ones that's been happening are pretty damn deadly.
Yeah, they are, and they're frightening. And it's a function of the way Western Europeans tend to build things without regard for what the environment is around them. We put cities on coastlines. We build cities on fault lines. Oh, look, here's a bad piece of ground. Well, damn, let's put a city on it.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, listen, so the global elite right in your doorway there, huh?
Oh yeah, we're buddies now.
That story is like.
Yeah, that's Shashi and Ravi Ruia.
No, that is just the thing is, you know, people need to separate. There's a global elite, and it don't really matter that they're from a country with, you know, massive poverty because hey. We're about ready to be from a country with
massive poverty. Yeah.
So, you know, we need to look at it now as the global elite and lump in all them people together. Nationality shouldn't be the focus anymore.
And you know, if it wasn't my home and if it wasn't something that mattered so much to me, Sandra, I'd just take a step back and go, damn, payback is a bitch.
Well, okay, but see, that's not no, because, you know, our complicit, you know, I don't know how complicit I want to feel about it, and you know what I'm saying. I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, no, not you, not me.
No, I understand
but,
what you're saying, though, but.
I mean, you look at the magnificent grand centuries of the British Imperial Raj, and, oh, well. Because I mean, even if you're up on your Gandhi history, remember when he started dealing with issues relating to textiles, the British had a fit because the British textile industry was dependent upon raw materials going to Britain and coming back to India as finished goods. And Gandhi said, you know, we're never going to be a people until we can make our own damn clothes, and that's why I learned to spin. And so this is a little bit of that. After all those years, you know, one of the things Gandhi did is he bit back economically. And this is India, and you know, we've got megatons of coal already leaving America and going to China, And this is India wanting in on it.
Yeah, no, and I don't know. I mean, that was just really quite disturbing.
Well, just, and this is here's the fun part. None of this coal is going to, I'd say, not even 10% of it, if that, is going to be burned, you know, not that I want it to be, is going to be burned for electricity in the United States. It's not like the Ruia brothers have said, you know, let's get in on the energy market in the United States. Oh, hell no, Sandra. This stuff is all going to India to feed the burgeoning Indian steel industry. Now, one of these days, and it's because of the, you know, it's just, I spend too much time reading ancient history, and we've talked too much about it, but one of these days, we might want that stuff. One of these days, we might want to make some of our own steel again. One of these days, we might need to build some stuff with steel. But the coal ain't going to be there to do it with, and the Chinese and the Indians, oh, no, we're not. What do you think we were buying yours for? We ain't got any.
Well, no, but isn't it a hallmark of, you know, in the sort of Britain Woods tradition, a hallmark of a third world country, is a country that just exports raw material.
Right.
Isn't that what we've been reduced to?
Yeah, it's classic. I mean, you're the horn economist. It's classic mercantilism, isn't it?
Well, it also is. Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. And you know, you think like we always, like I mentioned, the sort of ginormous middle class that India has is about as big as our whole population. So, you know, there's a
and they all want a car.
Yeah, there's an acute need for it. Same thing in China. But I must say again, their middle class, you have to consider the other billion poor people alongside their middle class.
Yeah, they try not to consider that other billion or two.
China, too. I hear China, you know, had to send out a few of their stormtroopers because some of the natives are getting a little bit uppity because I heard some of the uprising has sort of spread there a bit.
Yeah, they're even hearing about it in China, right?
Well, anyway, I mean that story. Well, I didn't really catch the rest. I missed the Walmart connection. Now they were handing out.
Yeah, they drew these people in from this little community. With the understanding that there would be Walmart and Lowe's gift cards, and one lucky soul would walk away with a flat-screen TV.
Okay, for the purpose of, I mean, what
of shutting their mouths and shutting their eyes and closing their ears, and there were people in the group, after we were thrown out, there were people who were complaining at the company, and they were called out by name in the meeting.
So this is
and told okay, so, you criticizing us is putting pressure on this project and you'll be putting people out of work. You need to shut up.
So it was a stick and carrot meeting?
Yeah, and you know, for my money, the Walmart gift cards and the Lowe's cards and the flat screen TV is just a really cheesy low rent 40 acres and a mule.
Oh no. And also it's amazing, it's just these same ginormous corporations. They're all partnering up.
Well, and remember, this is the Indians in Fayette County. You go a couple of counties away, and the Russians. The Russians are mining for their steel industry. Now, interestingly, the Chinese, who may be smarter than either combined, the Chinese have been content just to buy it from Massey and let Massey do the work. But the Indians, they want to own it on the ground, and so do the Russians, and they do.
Mm-hmm. And all you people are just disposable then, I guess.
Oh, exactly. Wow. You know, we can breathe their crap and get the water. And again, remember, I think this is the most significant piece of information out of the whole thing. They're blasting by the well water supply for an entire West Virginia city. Now, it's not a big city. We don't have big cities in West Virginia. But it's 25 or 30,000 people that depend on those wells. And they will be poisoned.
Boy.
I mean, yeah, you get the idea.
I get it. But, you know, I'm not there, so I can't really fully appreciate how horrific, because it sounds pretty damn horrible.
Well, it is, but it is, it's a long way from you, technically, but not as far as it is from me. I got a note from our buddy Jude earlier this evening. The great, great folks at the Rainforest Action Network, Sandra, have, and they get results. They really, really do. They're starting a petition campaign up in Washington State. Because lo and behold, Ombre Energy, A-M-B-R-E,
mm-hmm.
They're a bunch of coal thugs.
And are they American or?
Don't know.
National.
Hard to tell. But what they want to do is they want to build a West Coast coal port smack dab in the middle of the Columbia River.
Oh, no. Wow, I imagine the activists are gearing up for that. What?
Yeah. And it will completely ruin that ecosystem. And from my standpoint as a humanist, it will ruin the people who live in that ecosystem.
But then again, the people really don't matter, I guess.
But I got a feeling that folks in up that way and out your way actually do. They're still uppity enough to think that they do.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, no. Hopefully, there's a response back because that just sounds totally.
Because what they'll do is they want to build this coal terminal there in the Columbia River, and what will happen then is that coal will be trucked and trained in. From all over the West and possibly even Appalachia to that terminal to be put aboard ships and sent to China and India. And it will be, and it will be day in and day out. There will never not be a ship loading at that terminal.
Right. No. I understand what you're saying. Oh my God. Hey, did you hear that, there's a good chance that Assange person might actually be extradited to Sweden.
That will be sickening.
No, but the thing is, though...
But then again, I don't know. Maybe the Swedes won't put up with it.
No, but they seem to think that the Swedes would, not instantaneously, but ship him out here. That's the big concern.
Oh. You don't think the Swedes will get out in the street at the idea of their government getting in bed with the outlaw rogue approach that this country's taking to Assange?
I have no idea, but I'm, you know, because it's so persistent, you know what I mean? That's the thing that's a worry to me. It's like I was kind of surprised that they really are pushing to extradite this man. And the charges, forgive me for saying it, no one usually cares about sex crimes internationally. So there's another agenda involved. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure there is. I mean, Joe Biden called him a terrorist.
Yeah, but and apparently, you know, from what I've heard from him, you know, him and his posse, they're terrified at the prospect of being shipped out here. That's what we are now. Some a place where people are like petrified of being sent to. Isn't that an outrage?
It's an outrage against everything that I think anybody who ever cared about this country, especially in the early days of the foundation of this country, imagined this country would ever be.
Oh, and I'll let you go, but I must ask you, how's our diplomat doing over in Pakistan? Have you heard anything else from that?
I caught a little update this morning, and it's the same old ongoing talk. Well, you know, he's a diplomat. They've got to turn him loose. If he was mowing down people in the street, if he had diplomatic immunity, he just gets sent home.
Oh, and Obama's called for freeing Cuba political prisoners. Isn't that the kettle? What the? I'm sorry. I'm just at a loss at the sort of hypocrisy that dude's wallowing in.
Yeah, the whole physician heal thyself thing doesn't seem to work well in Washington.
It's too much. Anyway, okay, listen, have a good evening.
All right, you too. Take care, Sandra.
Bye,
bye now. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Well, just a couple things. Can we just, like, skip a step and change cadence on something?
We absolutely can, and we can reemphase the different syllables.
First, did I hear you mention Joan Rivers?
No, I don't think so.
I thought I did. I was in the other room. Anytime you ever mention her name with reference, please.
Okay, I haven't had cause to lately, but I will take that into account.
When I heard this conversation, this punk this afternoon, or whatever you want to call it, this joke that was played on that idiot.
Yeah.
That was a true Joan Rivers moment for me.
How so?
Well, to hear Well, the fact that this guy could do this with a straight face, I could. Well, yeah, I probably could. Yeah, I think I could. And hear this asshole make declarations about himself.
Oh, and well, the baseball bat comment was good.
Well, sure, absolutely.
But if we've got a functioning Justice Department, the man ought to be indicted about yesterday.
Well,
that's a big if, I realize.
Well, either it will or it won't, you know? And probably in most chances it probably will not. By the way, on MSNBC tonight, they had a guy from thinkprogress.org tonight.
Right.
And he was talking about the Koch brothers and the history that they have of they live purely on public contracts and all of the nefarious deals that these guys have been involved in the past.
Oh, yeah, they're awful wallowers in the public trough.
Oh, yeah, it's just incredible.
And, of course, it's worth remembering that their daddy was the prime mover behind the formation of the John Birch Society. I mean, God, I remember growing up and hearing the Alan Stang report. Alan Stang was like their radio blurb once a day. And to the John Birch Society, everybody was a communist except the John Birch Society.
Yeah, but this guy's father also had dealings with Stalin.
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
That's what was brought out tonight by this gentleman from Think Progress. Yes, sir.
Stalin. Son of a gun.
I just caught the end of it.
That's kind of weird for a guy who was fronting an anti-communist organization, isn't it, Jim? Or would it be hypocritical?
Oh, well, it's kind of like, you know, the Manchurian candidate's parents. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
I mean, you got all kinds of people who pretend they're one thing and they're the exact opposite. I mean, that's their modus operandi, is it not?
It very much is.
Shit, yeah, of course it is. And I want to straighten one thing out about Patco, okay?
Okay.
I don't disagree, but I have an understanding that back in 81, 82, the Patco boys kind of went off the reservation. Didn't they wildcat and break a union contract that had been validated?
Well, no, they were not. They were not, supposedly within as a. They were not allowed to strike, and they struck anyway.
Well, that's called wildcatting, right?
I always understood wildcatting to be when one element within a union struck and other elements kept work, but it's probably too fine a difference. It's probably hair splitting.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to straighten that out because I've used that example, and I did not wish to use it again erroneously, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, the president may have been within his right to do what he did, what I'm trying to say, because of those technicalities.
But the thing is, the president, the Reagan administration also deliberately set that situation up, Jim, because that's that. It's kind of like the development of the firing on Fort Sumter. They set it up. It was set up in such a way as to get the Confederacy to fire on the fort. And to the same extent, the Reagan administration set Patco up and drove them into that corner.
Okay. Well, I don't disagree with you there as far as the Reagan administration is concerned because, I mean, how many other setups did they have before he even took office? You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Reagan administration, they were the past masters of dirty tricks. They're Republicans, after all.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob, I tell you, I think dirty tricks are a part of all politics. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's one reason Jimmy Carter had such a hard time when he was in office. I saw this long documentary on PBS this morning about him and how Carter, you know, would not play ball with people. And he alienated so many people he couldn't get anything done. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, all of politics on both sides of the aisle, you know, it's all dirty tricks to me.
Well, to a certain extent, yes, but when we talk about Republican dirty tricks, Jim, and we talk about that specific niche of dirty tricks that the Republicans named rat fucking, that's something that the Democrats can't lay claim to. We're much better at the ineptitude. We're much better at, say, you know, Gary Hart saying, "No, I'm not fooling around with my wife. And I challenge you to follow me," and the media does, and they catch him with what's her name on the monkey business. We really the Democrats have never had a hold on the that kind of skullduggery. Not that I'm aware of in American in the annals of American political history.
Well,
because usually what the Republicans do involves felony charges.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the break-in, you know, Watergate started with a little low-rent break-in at Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office.
Yeah, I remember all
that. That was a rat. That was a rat fuck in motion.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Because they were trying to discredit Daniel Ellsberg.
Yeah, the Pentagon Papers. I remember it quite well.
You remember when it came out, who was it? McGovern. Who was McGovern's first vice presidential nominee?
Eagleton?
Yeah.
And he had a history of psychiatric treatment.
Yeah. And that, you know, that was a rat fuck. To take some, to take, I mean, I hope that in 21st century America, we recognize that getting help for a mental difficulty is the same thing you'd do if you, I don't know, went to a bone doctor with a broken arm. You get treatment rather than letting it get worse.
But, you know,
back then it was used to smear him.
But, you know, it would simply amaze you at the number of people who have attached a stigma to anyone who has to see a psychiatrist or anyone who, excuse me, admits to having...
Right, but at the same time, they don't attach the same stigma to somebody who goes to confession or talks to their rabbi or their imam. And it's all the same thing. It's all counseling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. That's a valid comparison. That's truly a valid comparison. It is indeed. But, I mean, still, that's just I guess it's an ambivalence that people have that you just can't get rid of. I guess maybe because of the medication and stuff like that. I don't know. Modern psychiatry has a long, long way to go as far as really establishing itself as a true means of helping people. I really believe that because of the.
Do you remember Nixon and the Canuck letter, where they took down the Edmund Muskie? Who was at the time, at that time in 72. He was the front runner. It was 1972. Edmund Muskie was the front runner, and they took him down with the Canuck letter because they made him cry. To his dying day, Edmund Muskie said he was not crying, that those were melting snowflakes running down his face. But perceived to be a crier and therefore not masculine enough to be president of the United States. So I guess times have changed a little bit because the weeper of the, you know, we've got a guy who cries at a clear blue sky holding the who's second in line to the presidency.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, doesn't that just give you the cold flop sweats?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, the guy's just, as far as I'm concerned, he's just a complete idiot. And,
well, you know, I suspect he is. I suspect he's a drunk, Jim.
Oh, he's definitely got some very serious issues there.
I have a feeling his nose is in the scotch bottle about breakfast.
Well, I would just like to see the results of the, if he took the MMPI or whatever, type of personality assessment thing they use these days. I would just love to see his score on that, wouldn't you?
No, without a doubt. But you've had a long and varied life. You've seen those guys who can't get two glasses of whiskey in them without beginning to bawl.
You know, I never had much respect for people like that.
No, but you've seen them. Boners are crying drunk.
Yeah, I've had two glasses already, but I'm not crying, and I'm not carrying on, am I?
No, I'm crying because I haven't. Oh, God, I'm on a roll. Exhaustion must be good for me, Jim.
Well, you know, never can tell. Different things for different people. It could give you just a second wind there.
No, there's something that, you know, I seldom, well, one, I joke about it a lot, but I don't imbibe a bunch. But, you know, usually, you know, I'm a beer guy, or maybe once in a while a little glass of brown liquor or a little bit of tequila. But, you know, when you are down in the Caribbean, if you're not drinking rum, there's something wrong with you. And it tastes better down there. It really, really does.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the only problem drinker is the one who never pays.
Now you're neck and neck with me tonight, Jim.
And by the way, going back to Joan Rivers, I've got a classic from her. You'll love it.
Go ahead.
She said that her first experience sexually was rape. And then added immediately, thank God he didn't press charges.
Oh. That's like the old line my dad used to use about someone he knew who would, he said she would trip a man and beat him to the ground.
Yeah. I've got her autograph around here somewhere, and she is just wonderful. And sometimes when it gets so bad for me and hearing all the stuff that's going on, I never fail to miss a Joan Rivers show and to hear her come out with her latest line of outrageous behavior.
I remember when she used to sub for Carson and she was just funny as hell. But, you know, the other thing, she's one of those show business working people. Like Don Rickles, you know. Work.
You better believe she is.
I mean, you get out there and you go to work. Because she still tours like insane amounts of time every year, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, she was on, she just did a show from the United Kingdom.
Well, I heard her talking to Terry Gross one night, and she said, I like nice things. I have to work. I've been broke. I don't ever want to be broke again. So, there you have it.
There you go. Well, you know, there's a woman who knows what she wants, and she knows how to get it. And, you know, she does a good job in doing it. A lot of people don't like her, but I think she's wonderful. But, I mean, like I say, when I heard this idiot prank this fool tonight on MSNBC, and they have the whole recording.
Oh, you can go get it online. Kirsten Liars has it real easy.
Well, yeah. I mean, he really was showing his true colors.
He thought he was talking to somebody inside the inside the bubble, under the hush hood or cone of silence or whatever, and he was just dead certain that he was on the inside of the cabal. I imagine he was hushing the mic and get my bags packed for California. David Koch wants to show me a good time.
Yeah, you're showing me a good time. Oh, I've got one more for you from your friend Barbara Bartman.
Barbara or Michelle?
Michelle Bartman. Who is the?
Yeah, the idiot from Minnesota.
Yeah. She made an announcement in the clear on television tonight saying that if Niels Bohr were allowed to be able to control the government currency and the government economic situation, that he would have it figured out in no time.
No, Glenn Beck.
Was it Glenn Beck?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck, excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, idiot?
Oh, she's a special kind of crazy.
I thought to myself, good God, what kind of...
Well, you know, if Glenn Beck was put in charge of the economy, we'd all have survival seeds and a gold line account in the economy. Well, the economy would be just fine. As long as we could afford it.
I mean, when you've got people like that making those kind of ridiculous statements, a congresswoman who has access to all the information in the from the CBO, a complete staff to do all of her research and stuff like that for her, making a comment like that.
I know, but you know what? It doesn't matter what data is available to you. If you have at your fingertips, it's like me with Einsteinian physics or all those equations that are written with all those symbols with all those little Greek letters in them and stuff. You could give me a book full of it, and I couldn't tell you that from a brownie recipe. And it's the same thing with Michelle Bachmann on a much lower level. She can have access to the CBO. It don't matter. She can't read. If somebody's not reading the Bible to her, she don't understand.
Well, like so many of these other people, just have serious impediments that pervade the entire spectrum. They really do. Jesus Christ. I tell you, when I heard that, I thought to myself, my Lord in heaven, between you've got people like her and then that idiot who is the Speaker of the House, I thought, mm-mm.
Oh, and you got Steve King in Iowa, and you got Chris Christie in New Jersey. It's idiots on parade. By the way, Jim, John Fox just shot this over to me. Scott Walker has given his response to having been punked. He had a 20-minute news press conference today, and he said, I take phone calls all the time. The bottom line is the things I said are the things I said publicly all along.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does that surprise you, considering his mentality and his think state and his, total, attitude of complete intransigence? Does it really surprise you? I mean, nothing can embarrass him.
Right. And remember, it may stick because of the old adage of IOKIYAR.
Well, yeah, and he's just adhering to the old KISS principle. Don't try to give any explanation. Said, yeah, I said it and I meant it. And, and not care.
I said I'm going to screw you, and I'm still planning on screwing you.
Yeah,
what's the news?
And not even giving you a reach around. By the way, 61% of those people polled favor what's going on in Wisconsin, pro-labor.
Yeah, never mind the fact that Radio Rwanda, Fox News, blatantly flipped that and said 61% of people oppose it. They even put it up on the screen
MSNBC had the exact opposite.
Well, that's because what MSNBC had was the actual results. But Radio Rwanda is not interested in the least in actual facts. So they've got 5 or 10 million Emerys and Eileens out there in the Barca loungers eating their TV dinners going, see, they hate unions just like we do, Eileen.
How can they get away with something like that? I mean, that's just outright lying.
Because there's no law. There's no law. There's no law that says they have to tell the truth. There's no law that says they have to be factual.
Oh, is that their part of being entertainment?
In a way. When I was on the cruise, I heard Alan Grayson say something that he had repeated on air one time. He said they were talking about, the vast audience of Fox News. He said, listen, Nickelodeon has a bigger SpongeBob SquarePants has a bigger audience than Fox. The difference is SpongeBob is entertaining. So, it is entertainment. They went to court in Canada and said, we're not a news organization, we're entertainment.
That's really strange because I don't find anything entertaining about anything that these people say.
Well, that's because you're normal, Jim. That's because you've got a working conscience. That's because you have an ethical center. That's because you have been educated above the sixth grade.
And yet there are people who actually tell me they cannot understand why I can tolerate people like Joan Rivers.
Right.
Isn't that a kick in the balls?
Well, it is. And here's another one just to wrap your head around. I mentioned SpongeBob a minute ago.
Yeah.
The IQ of a SpongeBob audience is dramatically higher than the IQ of a Fox audience. Chew on that one for a little bit.
No, I think I'm going to pass that hors d'oeuvre to somebody else.
Yeah, you do that, and get glass number three.
No, that's okay, but I mean,
I'll catch up with you after the show.
Well, that's fine. You're certainly welcome to. And so you had quite an experience last night with these people from India, or who was?
Well, no, they had their Colonel Sanders gone to seed the company thugs there. But, yeah, you're not welcome here.
And so he did a...
And I got that for just saying my name.
And he did a by name request for you to exit the premises.
Oh, yeah. Screamed at me.
Well, what would happen if you had not left?
Oh, they would have called the cops. And the cops would have sided with the company. And I'd be on the and I would either be in jail tonight or on the air begging for bail money.
Even though this was an open meeting?
Well, technically, I get they claimed it wasn't open. It was invitation only. Can you show me one of the invitations you sent out?
What did they say when you said that?
No, it's none of your business. I said, can we look at your maps before we leave? No. Do you have an environmental impact statement? I told you no.
And so their purpose was to give away Walmart and other...
And Lowe's gift cards in a door prize drawing, and one lucky winner walked away with a flat-screen TV.
A flat-screen TV. My God.
I hope they mount the hell out of it to the wall, because when the blasting starts happening... That thing will go over in the floor if it's just sitting there on the pedestal.
You know, honestly and truly, it's just these people are...
Yeah.
They're just beyond being thugs.
Well, you know, we thought Don Blankenship was a horse's ass.
I mean, these people are almost like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
They really are.
You know, I got to thinking... And I thought about whether or not I would give this away, but I will since we're carrying on a conversation here, Jim. I've been thinking about the fact that this is an Indian company. What if we, you know how in India, like, they hang the flower garlands all around the cow's neck and they wander through the streets and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Can't touch them. They're sacred.
Right.
Well, cattle at auction aren't very expensive. You could probably pick up a couple for less than a couple of $1,000. You know, feeder steers. What if you took a couple of those and you had a video camera with a long lens and you put the flower garlands around them and just sent them wandering onto that site and got video of those cattle being manhandled by those seedy Colonel Sanders types and then shipped the video back to India? How do you reckon that'd play?
Not too well.
I didn't think it would either.
No, not at all.
Well, God, maybe we'll have to start fundraising for the Horn Cattle Fund.
I don't know. And these were local people who told you to get out of the meeting.
Well, one guy was from Logan, another guy was from, like, you know, Cross Lanes or something. They don't live around here. But I wasn't Fayette County enough to suit them.
Just ignorant fucks.
Well, and terrified and scared because, you know, they get threatened from higher up. You get that coal out of the ground or you don't have a job, buster. Because those dirty little bastards running the meeting were probably making upwards of $100,000 a year.
Well, you know, I bet people like Albert Anastasia and Lucky Luciano and, let's see, can you name up John Gotti and a couple of
Meyer Lansky.
Yeah, Meyer Lansky. Well, Meyer Lansky was a cut above them. Shit, he never went in jail. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, he was too smart. And Bugsy Siegel, you know, I think they'd probably be right at home with these people.
No, I think that whole everybody you just named was a better class of thug.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you know, if killings went on, they were killing among their own cabal. They were killing among their own crowd. You know, they didn't go around the corner and kill Granny.
Don't forget Dutch Schultz.
Yeah. Pretty Boy Floyd. Yeah. Bonnie and Clyde. But but these coal companies, they don't care who they kill. As long as they make their rupees.
Well, I mean, these people are no better. You know, like I say, you know, the allusion to organized crime. And the methods they use, I mean, I can't see a whole lot of difference. I really can't. Except they just duck and cover and hide between all kinds of stuff.
And they've got the cover of sanction from government in the form of laws that they've bought to, they've paid to have enacted.
Very true.
You know, today in the hearing, the lawyer for the Department of Environmental Protection and the lawyers for the coal company, with straight faces, argued to the Surface Mine Board that there is no provision in West Virginia law for an emergency stay of a mine permit, that you can't do it. Once a permit, no, you go.
That's the state law?
No, that was their argument.
But it was predicated upon state law?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all because of the influence that coal has in the state of West Virginia, that's for sure.
And that's why, of course, the West Virginia state government and Virginia's state government and Kentucky's state government all want to engage in a little pre-Civil War nullification of the EPA. That's why the Republican House voted to defund the EPA a week ago.
Oh, yeah. Also, listen, they voted to defund the IRS, too.
Not surprising. All those, you know, look, they don't want to pay taxes.
And the Securities and Exchange Commission, them too.
Right, because this is libertarianism run absolutely amok. All those things are deemed to be countervailing to liberty because they define liberty as the right to not pay taxes.
Wow.
It's that simple.
Well, listen, you take care and don't get in any trouble unless you have to.
Hopefully none I can't get out of.
Really, but I had no idea that they could do something like that. I mean, you know, it was supposedly a public meeting, and obviously it was designed to, I guess, provide information for people who would be impacted upon these explosions, and you're definitely in that category if you're 7 miles away from it and you can feel the blast and or hear it.
Yeah.
Do they blast all night?
No, they're not allowed to blast after sundown. So a lot of the blasting takes place at shift changes, either early in the morning or about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we hear them here. They rattle the windows.
And let me get one other thing clear. I'm not trying to prolong this. Are there no means or measures undertaken for them to restore any of the land that they destroyed?
Oh, the law, no, the law requires them to reclaim the land to approximate original contour unless they get a variance. But that law is on the books but not enforced. It's kind of like, you know, public morality laws and pulling your horse over to the side, or your car over to the side of the road if a horse approaches. Yeah, it just isn't enforced. Less than 4% of all mountaintop removal sites, Jim, less than 4% have ever been reclaimed within the meaning of the law.
In other words, they just simply leave gaping holes in the ground not to be corrected.
And then, right, and they spray, it's called hydroseed. It looks like, you've probably seen it like in road building applications. It's this green stuff that they spray on a naked hillside, and for a while it'll grow grass. Grass will grow on rocks with hydroseed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's non-native grasses. They are invasive species, and they don't last. And the next thing you know, you've just got a wasteland. And then the ultimate trick is that once they've sprayed that crap, they go, look, we've reclaimed it. They go to the DEP and say, can we please be released from our bond? And the DEP says, sure. And then they pack up and they leave, and they're, and you know, good luck to you trying to find them once you figure out, oh shit, I've got cancer. It's a nice little dodge it's a nice little dodge the government that they've bought has set up.
That's horrible, Bob. It really is.
Yeah, well, it is.
You take care and thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye now. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. That's the reality. And That's the only reason I left last night. Is I didn't want to be trying to figure out bail, especially not with Agnes, you know, 2 hours away. I know some will say, well, Bob, you should have let him arrest you. No. No. Not there. It's one thing to have a planned act of civil disobedience, but not there. They're killers. Coal companies are killers. They always have been. They always will be. You need to understand that every time you turn your lights on. They are killers. Every time you turn your lights on, if you've got electric power provided by coal, every time you turn your lights on, just think, click, somebody in Appalachia, somebody out west, somebody in southern Illinois, somebody in northern Arizona is getting cancer right now. Click. And maybe after enough clicks, you'll begin to tell your friends, tell your neighbors that we must have wind and solar. We must have smart grid. We must have grid 2.0. Because there is enough energy in North Dakota alone. There's enough wind energy in North Dakota alone to power the entire United States if we only could build the grid to get the power from point A to point B. There is enough solar power in the desert southwest to power this country and several others if only we had the technological will to build the grid to get for power from point A to point B. And it's not one of those physics brick walls. It's just we've been complacent about our willingness to poison each other to make the lights come on. Or less than 45% of the lights, since that's how much coal powered electricity baseload is in this country. And yeah, Texas Betsy, you're right. They would have taken Ferg and stuffed him in foster care. That was the other reason I had to get out. Ferg has, God bless him, donkey ears. We're working on it. But he was red in the face and ready to go after Colonel Sanders. We're still working on nonviolence principles with Ferg. You're very right. You're very right, Betsy. Lines open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. If you're new to the program, you can always reach us that way. Or you can reach me by email, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. I'm going to go back to the phones in a minute, but I do have to mention something to you. I had a very nice note from Darlene the other day. Darlene is a regular contributor to the program. And she said she wanted to put out a challenge to the audience, to the Horn family. She is willing to match donations for 20 contributors to the Thrifty 250. If 20 people will donate $10 a piece to the $200 level, 20 people donating $10 a piece, she will match it with her own $200 for a total amount of $400. We will start that this evening. And that would be a big help because we're fast running out of February and nowhere near meeting February's fundraising goal. So the challenge is out there. We need 20 contributors to the Thrifty 250, $10 each, and Darlene will match that for a total of $400. Can you do it? It's easy. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. The snail mail address is there as well. Many of you have asked, how much does it cost when I contribute at PayPal? Well, it's not just PayPal. It's everybody else as well. It's Google Checkout. There are nonprofit organizations that do the money transfers. They all charge 3% of the transaction, 3% of the contribution as a transaction. So, in other words, if you send $100, well, you do the math, 3%, $3. If you send $100, it's $3. $50, it's $1.50. 75 cents if it's $25. $10 is 30 cents. So, you know, for those of you who say, I don't want to do PayPal because I don't want them, look, we are thrilled to have the operational funds. And frankly, it's going to cost me more than, $3 to drive to Beckley to the yada, 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 transfer it to the blah, blah, blah. So just so you'll know. Moving onward, let's see if anybody has waited. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good to speak to you again.
This is Edward.
Oh, this is Matt.
Oh, Matt. My God. Sorry.
No, okay.
I haven't heard from you in so damn long. I've forgotten what your voice sounds like. What, have you been under a rock?
No, I haven't been under a rock. I've been dealing with rabbits.
Oh, rabbits.
Yes.
And rabbits is and rabbits is practically chickens.
That's right. We have two rabbits now. We have a second rabbit, and it is a light gray and got dark gray spots. It's a Rex, so it has longer ears, and he's got longer legs, and he's smaller, but he jumps higher and farther, so it's quite something.
He think he's bigger.
So what?
He think he's bigger.
He think he's bigger, yes. And we took him off the harness yesterday, and, yeah, we've been watching them fly around the backyard. So.
And they haven't shown any inclination for digging out under the fence, and you don't have the whole Stalag 17 thing going on yet, right?
No, we don't have the Stalag 17 thing going on yet because we dug them a burrow. We did have a problem with Rorschach. He kept wanting to go under the shed. And, you know, it was one thing if he just went under there and came out a few minutes later. But, no, he wanted to go under there and stay under there for 40 minutes or an hour. So we couldn't have that.
No, not in this weather. Getting down and crawling on the ground to try to get under a building, no. All better?
I'm sorry. I had to step away from the phone for 1 second. I didn't even hear you.
No worries.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You were saying?
We have the bunnies, and you were asking about the rock that we crawled out from under, but...
No, I know. You've been slaving away over a hot video editor.
Yeah, I have been. And you want to talk about rocks that things crawl out from under. Mark Williams crawling out from under a rock a couple of days ago. Like, that man is probably my favorite Tea Partier to hate. I mean, really. He is probably the most disgustingly dishonest.
Yeah, Mark Williams, the man who said the NAACP is one of the worst race baiters out there. The NAACP has made more money off race than any slave trader ever.
Yes.
That Mark Williams.
Yeah, he came roaring back this week, of course, you know, and it turned out that his entire shtick, the reason why he was saying, oh, I'm going to bust up these SEIU protests by, you know, he was saying that he was going to have his crowd of people go in and pretend to be union members and sabotage the event. And the reason why he does this is to get attention. Because, and it worked. I mean, he got 1,000 retweets out of that. And we have to stop taking the bait every time, people like you and me. We have to stop doing that. I tell you what, I have actually a post going up at Crooks and Larry's in about 60 seconds. It's fixing the roll, folks. It's fixing the roll. And I wanted to tell you that I'm going to Montgomery next week. The Goat Hill Project is on. Now, your listeners probably don't know about this. I don't.
Well, we've talked about Goat Hill a little bit and what Goat Hill is. It's the informal name of the Capitol Hill in Montgomery, Alabama. It's where Jefferson Davis took the oath of office for the Confederate presidency. among other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we do actually make progress in Alabama. I don't know if you heard, but the people who were reenacting Jefferson Davis's inauguration the other day.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did, but the crowd was smaller than the reenactors. And you put that up against, like, 30 or 40 years ago, and there was a nice post at LIA about it, Less Than Alabama. There was a nice little post about this and how, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, thousands of people showed up for this thing. So we do actually make progress down here. We're a little slower.
Well, you know, it takes a while for certain generations to go the way of all flesh and go to their long home and their just reward. But that is actually inspiring, Matt. And by the way, I recommend Left in Alabama as well as Matt's own blog, Osborne Inc., OSBRNEINK.com, for anybody who likes to keep up with Deep South politics and that kind of lunacy in particular. What was I thinking about? It was inspiring because, on the other hand, I mentioned in a conversation with Sandra a couple of nights ago, the sick, twisted Yehu who went down to Toomer's Corners and poisoned oak trees because he's a Roll Tide fan.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. I have to say, I haven't heard a single Alabama fan try to excuse it either.
Well, no, because they know that some crazy-ass Auburn fan will go and blow up Denny Chimes if they do.
We can't have that.
Or I don't know, set fire to the house of the Jasons. Okay, a little inside baseball there, but those are both beloved shrines on the campus of the University of Alabama.
Yes,
and see, the thing is, Matt, you and I both know that somebody's thinking about that right now.
Yes.
If I'm normal and I can just mention it in passing conversation, there is an Auburn fan out there going, God damn them Bammer Jammers. We got to do something to them about the Toomer's Corners Elks. Oaks. Whatever. Get them some elks and shoot them on it. God damn them. Yeah.
You know, I've actually seen someone who had an Auburn lighter. Like, you know, these little plastic lighters that you pull off the
Yeah, I got me a Ricky Bobby lighter.
I've got a plain yellow one right now. Yellow's not my color. I'm not sure how I wound up with this, but this was the last lighter left in the house, and they wouldn't use it. They would rather Jones for a cigarette. Now, you know as well as I.
You are not lying. No, you are not lying. I don't care if you're in Oregon, Washington, California, New York, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Matt ain't lying. No, you're a cigarette smoker, you're jonesing, you're shaking. You will walk 5 miles to the store to keep from using an Auburn lighter. God, that's
it's
sad.
It's true. So here's what I'm going to do, Bob. I'm going to go down to Doakville, going to go down to Montgomery next week, and I'm going to cover the session for Less Than Alabama. It's going to be video. Usually they meet for 2 days a week, and every day that they're in session, I'm going to take video and post.
Jesus, 2 days a week, Matt? What, do they have fainting couches, too?
Well, you know, it's a part-time legislature, because part-time legislatures don't eat out your substance, of course, and they have less time to do it real harm by passing laws, because, you know, laws are bad. But here's what's interesting to me. All this anti-teacher, anti-union stuff going on everywhere, it's going on here, too. And maybe your listeners don't know this, but Alabama has been a Democratic state. The legislature has been Democratic for 136 years. Republicans just took power this year for the first time in 136 years.
And what was one of the first things they did, Matt Osborne?
The first thing they did out of the gate was they had ethics reform. They had a special session for quote-unquote ethics reform. Now, mind you, we did desperately need ethics reform in Alabama, but one of the elements of this ethics reform, Bob, is that they took away your ability as a state worker, a teacher, or anybody else to use payroll deduction for your union dues. Now, you tell me.
Because that's unethical?
What is that about? How is that unethical?
Was there anything in the Code of Ethics of Alabama, and yes, it really does exist, that even remotely suggested that that was unethical conduct?
No, absolutely not.
Was there case law in the long and storied history since 1819, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, founding of the state of Alabama and the first state house at Cahaba? Was there anything in the case law of the state of Alabama that said payroll deductions were unethical?
No, never. I can't think of a single item that would suggest that this is true. And you've had a continued assault has been going on since the Republicans got in there. And when they meet next week, what's their first agenda item? Their first agenda item is, get this, Bob, to have a state-offered insurance plan for teachers. In other words, to give them a public option so they have less incentive to join the union.
Well, that's kind of a glass half full, glass half empty, isn't it?
You could look at it that way.
How much is this little sucker going to cost? I mean, aren't the tea baggers putting on their hats and busily misspelling their signs in moral outrage against that?
Oh, absolutely not. Of course not.
Shit.
Because they're Republicans.
Well,
it's okay if you're a Republican.
Oh, it certainly is. Jiminy Christmas. Have they brought up the no homosexuals in literature in Alabama libraries bill again since the Republicans are in charge now?
You know, they might. They might when I get down there. Who knows?
I want them to pass it.
You want them to pass it. You want them to pass that bill. Go ahead and tell me why.
For the same reason that I loved what happened to Scott Walker today. I want the world to see these people with the rubber masks off.
Yeah.
You know, I want all of those junior league members in the state of Alabama to have their romance novels confiscated because they got Fabio with his shirt off on the front, and they can't be no more gay than that.
It's true.
I'm sorry. No, I don't want that to happen. But you know, I mean, you understand the impulse, right?
Yes, of course. I understand the impulse.
I want the Republican legislature of Alabama to reintroduce that bill redefining pi as 3.
I want the Republican legislature of Alabama to, pass laws against microchipping for the global world order and all that kind of happy horse pucky. I want to see some anti-Sharia laws. Come on.
Well, I was about to say, you know, Alabama hates to be behind Tennessee in anything.
That's true.
And the Republican legislature of Alabama is going to have to get damn busy because Tennessee done jumped out front. You know about this?
No, I don't.
Tennessee Senator Bill Ketron's, he's a pig-licking, new Senate Bill 1028 in the Tennessee legislature. Its preamble says that Sharia law continues to plague the United States generally, and Tennessee in particular.
Problem in Tennessee.
Yeah, right.
Sharia law.
Right. It was Sharia law made that man's house burn down while the fire department was watching, by God. The new bill requires all Muslims, quote, to actively and passively support the replacement of America's constitutional republic. No, they don't. Tennessee don't require that. That'd be Confederate and all. No, they're saying that Sharia law requires that, actively and passively support the replacement of America's constitutional republic with an Islamic state. And Sharia law is a legal, political, military doctrine. And it's the quote from the bill, Matt Osborne. Sharia law is treasonous. And here's the punchline. Sharia law is a felony punishable by 15 years in jail.
15 years for practicing Sharia law.
Let's see.
I set aside my Sharia law plans right now.
You know what? We got to get better at this. We got to get better at dressing in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, you know, for going down to the Church of Christ and singing without no tambourines nor kazoos. And we got it, because that's where your local legislator will be, and you say, you know what, we got to get serious about this Sharia law. Because they're going to outlaw the Church of Christ, and the next thing you know, they're going to bring in the tambourines, and our religious freedom will be over. We got to get one of these introduced in Alabama. I got the Tennessee bill here for you, brother. The threat from Sharia-based jihad and terrorism presents a real and present danger to the lawful governance of this here state and to the peaceful enjoyment of citizens by the residents of this here state. Any adherence to Sharia law, which includes religious practices like feet washing and prayers, is treasonous. Yeah, that's going to go over real hard with the Pentecostalist snake-handling sect. There's some serious foot washers in Christianity in Tennessee and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and whatnot.
Now, you do know that Tennessee is the only state that's actually outlawed snake handling, right?
Well, when snake handling's outlawed, only outlaws will handle snakes.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
It has the companion bill. I kid you not. The companion bill has also been introduced in the Tennessee House.
The companion bill has also been introduced in the Tennessee House. So
it's in the House and the Senate, both of which are controlled by Republicans. The bill was drafted by the Tennessee Eagle Forum.
The Tennessee Eagle Forum, that explains everything.
Oh, doesn't it?
That's still Schlafly.
Schlafly. You have to use your Daffy Duck voice when you say Schlafly, Matt.
That's right. Schlafly.
Schlafly. You go to the Schlafly cutoff and get out of your car and cut off your Schlafly.
Yeah, that's the Schlafly-ites. Yeah, man. She's an old part of this.
Dried up old prune of a...
Well, she was a dried up old prune when I was in high school.
Oh, here's the fun. Here's another fun part. This is well, never mind. No. Really. I don't want to see none of you Muslims washing none of your stinking feet around here. Well, wait a minute. They're stinking because you ain't washed them. No, that's Sharia law, that foot washing. Your feet are going to have to stink.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that if they're trying to do prior restraint on the activities at the Murfreesboro Mosque, that law is not going to last 5 minutes in a federal court. You know it won't.
No, but then the Republican Party. See, that's what you get when you get these liberal activist judges. They're trying to foster an Islamic Sharia law takeover of this year America.
Because you have to get to the third step. You know, there's those three steps of the paranoid mind, Bob. Step one, all right, they're out to get us. Step two, they are all powerful and all knowing. Step three, they're all in it together.
Hoo-wee! Well, I've got a solution here. I've got a solution.
Uh-huh.
You just mentioned that a certain anniversary had just been passed.
Yes.
That was marginally celebrated on the steps in Montgomery at Goat Hill.
Uh-huh, yes.
Here's my solution. Alabama, being the proud, proud state that Alabama is, Alabama cannot simply introduce that piece of legislation in its own House, in its own Senate. Because that would just be copycat in Tennessee, and Alabamians would rather eat dirt than do that.
No, we can't imitate Tennessee.
So you got to one-up them.
Got to one-up them.
Got to secede.
Got to secede. Got to secede over Sharia.
Got to secede over creeping Sharia law.
Creeping Sharia law secession. That's a great tongue twister there, my friend.
I think it's got legs.
I think it's got legs.
Oklahoma will secede faster than you can say rampant lesbianism in seventh grade in southeast Oklahoma as documented by Tom Coburn.
Rampant lesbianism. Yeah, I just love that. It's like, yeah, I know what evidence Tom Coburn has to go by with that. Yeah, I think he was looking at the Internet.
I think he was looking at Penthouse Forum. Dear Penthouse, I never thought I'd be writing a letter like this.
Hell yeah, but you were talking about letting the rubber mask drop away. I actually posted this last, this is just a couple of days ago. It's really amazing to me the turnaround that we've had. We have the Tea Party talking about working Americans as the oppressors and government as the solution. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Let the teabaggers and Fox News and the wingnuts, let them oppose working Americans. Every time they do, they expose themselves. I don't know if you saw this yesterday.
But Tommy, isn't that kind of what's behind the whole Scott Walker thing now? Didn't he just...
Well, yeah.
I mean, I hate to say expose himself because I don't even like that mental image. But didn't he expose himself?
Yes, he did. He did, and somebody exposed him in that phone call. He really exposed himself, and then he only took 4 questions in the press conference about it. You want to talk about, you know, chickening out, my goodness.
Yeah. No
kidding. if they want to fly a Gadsden flag for Scott Walker and the Koch brothers, yeah, let them. Go ahead. I don't care. You know what? I'm glad. I'm really glad they are. Because I have written probably 100 posts over the last 2 years about Tea Party organizing and Tea Party rhetoric and identifying the strains of authoritarianism in there. You know, there's a huge body of work at my blog about this. And it's like, yes, everything that I have been telling my readers for 2 years is coming out now. You can see it. You can see the visual. You can hear them say it. It's like, it's not just me analyzing this stuff anymore. It's what's coming out of their own stupid mouths on camera. I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. And by the way, I wanted to tell you, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a countdown clock on my blog now.
There is. Yes, I did.
Yes. This is the countdown until the end of the 112th Congress. And it says here, Bob, that we have 684 days and 22 hours and 42 minutes and 18 seconds.
Probably 15 seconds by now. I'm into detail. I get punchy. When I get exhausted, I get punchy and I get into detail.
Well, you need to take a break, my friend. But tell you what, if you're going to take a break, you know, go over.
No, I'll take a break at 9 p.m.
But
it involves black strap rum.
This post just rolled, and you guys need to go check it out. Readers need to check it out. It's all about Alabama and why this Goat Hill project that I've got going on is so important. We don't have newspapers in Alabama. We don't have TV stations. It's worse here than everywhere else. It's worse.
You know, we really ought to, here's an idea. We really, you know, I just got back from this Progressive Voices cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been bitten by the bug. I'm ready to start walking to the islands. I want to go back so damn bad. But I went to looking around, and did you know that there is a cruise that leaves for the Western Caribbean from Mobile, Alabama?
Oh, my goodness.
And they're dirt cheap if you're willing to ride down in steerage with Leonardo DiCaprio and all. And all them people, you know, clog dancing and shit. We need to... See, this is one of those moments where we need to get your first Alabama brigade, and we need to get the Horn family all together, and we need to spend a few days doing sort of like a Joseph Conrad Heart of Darkness tour through Alabama that eventually wends its way down to Mobile, where we all get on the boat and get away and go, goodbye now. So that people can understand you're not effing kidding.
No. One of the things that I want to do while I'm down in Montgomery is get a closer look at a part of Alabama that even Alabama doesn't see.
Just a closer look at wing nuts. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, I sang. My bad.
It you're talking about a part of the state that, Jim Crow lasted a little bit longer there than everywhere else. You know?
Yeah, that's why the bus boycott had to happen there.
Right. That's why Montgomery was so central to the civil rights era. And I tell you what, it's going to be really amazing. I can just feel it in my bones. I'm hoping some teachers will show up. I'm hoping the unions, what's left of them in Alabama, will show up in Montgomery. I'm hoping I'll get to cover that. That would be awesome. But in the meantime, I'm going down there to try and talk to people, get people on camera, and crash these gates.
And get the Republicans to secede.
And get the Republicans to secede. That's absolutely correct.
I mean, I know you got a lot on your plate, but if we could just add that one, Matt, I'd be mighty grateful.
You know, I've talked so many times about having a movement in North Alabama to secede from the state.
Yeah, and get into, Free State of Winston and all of that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. We should all secede from Alabama.
Well,
I've always
said that the natural border of Alabama should be the south side of the Tennessee River.
This is true.
And but now I don't feel so good about it because that would be Tennessee, and God knows there's a lot of foot washers in Lauderdale and Lawrence and Madison and Jackson counties, and well, damn, they'd be committing treason in Tennessee.
Treason. I'm interested. Treason is a federal crime, isn't it?
I think some southern states have their own sort of southern brand of treason. Hey, I got another selling point for the secession.
Okay, go.
You got to explain to them, we got to get to it before South Carolina does this time.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's going to be beautiful. Well, Bob, I'm going to let you go.
Well, Matt, it's awful good hearing from you. It's been entirely too long, and I wish you well. And if you want to call in with some live updates from Goat Hill, you are, by God, more than welcome to.
You know what? I have an idea. Why don't I do that?
I think you should.
I will do that for you, Bob. For you and your listeners, if they will all go and just read this Crooks and Liars post, I will do it for you.
Well, they're already there, Matt.
All right. I believe you.
All right, you take care.
You too.
And hey to the bunnies.
Bye-bye.
Later. Our Southeast correspondent, the intrepid Matt Osborne of osborneinc.com, run on over to Crooks and Liars and read this latest post. Matt does just damn good work. I love new emails. This just in from Jesse. Bob, I've been listening to you for several months now. I've just donated and apologize for not doing it sooner. No, don't apologize. I'm just glad you did. We're just glad you did. I can relate to what you were saying about feeling terrible from the air in your area. I've lived in South Korea for 5 years now. Over the last 2.5 years, I've experienced a steady decline in my health. I cannot think. I cannot breathe. I have sinus problems, ear problems, migraines, muscle aches. I feel terrible. I thought there was something seriously wrong with me. I had MRIs, visited neurologists, ENTs, the works, nothing. I stopped communicating with my advisor from grad school because I was suddenly dumb, unable to remember the research I did, unable to form coherent sentences. I gave up on the idea of returning for my PhD. I feel like my brain has soaked up all the pollution like a sponge and it's no longer capable of processing information. Last summer, my husband was sent to Sicily for 3 weeks to work. I went along, and within days, I felt normal. I felt hopeful. I could think. I could remember. I could read a book without getting lost. I came back to Korea, and it was the same thing all over again. I declined rapidly. I came to realize it was the air here. If I can find an area in Korea far enough away from a city, any city, as they seem determined to pave the entire peninsula, I can begin to feel normal. I even see it in my cats. One has a constantly runny nose, the other with watery eyes. I can even tell the time of day by how I feel. When I feel so dizzy and horrible that I can barely stand, I know it's 4:30 p.m., rush hour. Thanks for all you do. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you so very much. And see, I talk about what's going on here in Appalachia, but it really is. It is going on all over the planet. There are places in China now that make London in 1830 and Pittsburgh in 1910 look sunny and clear. And it comes from the incessant urge of consumerism that is driven by filthy energy sources. Isn't it going to be the last great laugh on all of us when all of these things that we make to make our lives better turn out to make it impossible to live on the effing planet? Don't that just beat all? And the thing is, it doesn't have to be this way. Again, I reiterate, the fuel of the future, as Joe Manchin, Blanche Manchin likes to call it, the fuel of the future is now, and it's only been shining on the planet since the first day that the planet was no longer, as Genesis says, without form and void. And when the sun's not shining, oddly enough, the wind is usually blowing. It's a neat little system we've got here. Why is it that fundamentalists and right-wingers can't seem to understand, for all of their talk about God giving us the gift of earth and life, that the ultimate gift is shining on them every day and speaking to them in the whispers that run over their faces, through their hair, and past their ears? It's not the buried evil, the ancient archetype that gives cultures around the world some idea of horror beneath the ground. It ain't the fossil fuels. And I maintain that fossil fuels are the origins of the ideas of a hellish underworld. Whether it be Xibalba among the Maya, Hades among the Greeks, or hell among the Christians, or any other cultural underworld. It's because people thousands of years ago dug. You know, the Bible has its Tower of Babel analogy. Well, they'll reach up unto God, so I shall confound their tongues, and they shall... Yeah. Peoples learned that there were things that they could dig into in the earth below the places where they wanted to plant. That there were things they would run into in digging wells that would kill them. And that is the mythical origin of hell. The Greek myth of Pandora's box isn't metaphorical. They are lessons learned by those striving, thinking people. About what happens when your grasp exceeds your reach. Worth thinking about, I believe. By the way, did you know that another challenge to the Affordable Care Act has been overturned? This is prayer meeting Wednesday, after all. Yeah, the Affordable Care Act challenge that was filed by a Pat Robertson group has been overturned. What the... Does a televangelist... What business does he have telling people they have to suffer and die in misery? Oh, I can answer that. It's because Pat Robertson is a member of a death cult that worships the murder of a Palestinian carpenter 2,000 years ago rather than the truisms that he expressed while he was alive, if indeed he was. But while he was fronting a challenge to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare is communism, Pat never gets too far away from his original con, his original shtick.
He is. Jesus Christ is here tonight.
Where? Over there in the corner.
So you're going to be talking to him. If he was standing in front of you, he'd say, what do you want? I want to receive my sight. I'd like my child to be healed. I got a dead baby. I want you to bring him back to life again. Whatever you need.
Oh, Pat's off the meds. I got a dead baby. I'd like to bring him back to life again. How do you make a dead baby float? A glass of root beer, two scoops of dead baby.
And some that have sicknesses, you've been hurting, you've been aching, you've got arthritis, you've got other things in your body that are wrong. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to stand up and say, I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name, I receive it! I receive it! Thank you, Lord. All those around them, put your hand on them. Put your hand on them right now. Keep standing. Don't...
Jesus, don't light a match. There's enough polyester in there. The place will go up like Dante's Inferno.
All right, put your hand on those that are standing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, speak to the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I will empty my purse into that little collection plate when it comes around.
Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, I am healed.
By your stripes. See, there it is. The torture cult, the death cult.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, Jesus, Pat, put it away.
Yes. Yes. Yes! Hallelujah! Yes!
Larry Craig somewhere down there?
Yes!
What's happened, Penny?
Okay, here comes the fun part. This is, by the way, this is a faith healing crusade in which they featured an evangelical woman who claims her ministry raises the dead. Here's the trick, though. She doesn't raise the dead round here locally. She only does it in Africa.
When you said the nose, I've not been able to smell for a long time. I mean, every once in a while I would catch a little whiff of coffee or something, but it's very rare.
Oh, she's lost the ability to... It's a Monty Python skit. And, Lord, I've not been able to live...
And when you said that, it's like I had a little congestion from the allergies or something, but everything instantly cleared. And then I started smelling mint.
Mint? Is that what you said?
And both nostrils. And I turned around to the girl next to me and I said, do you smell mint? Is there mint anywhere? And she said, I have mint gum.
Glory, she had mint gum. Hallelujah. And the Lord made her unto smell it. Jesus.
I was going to say, I think you're chewing gum.
And I even still right now feeling the... Like the warmth of the mint, you know, when you smell it going up both nostrils.
Isn't that awesome? Fire on her, Lord God. Let it come. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, she was slain in the spirit. Giggling. You get that. There's gigglers who get slain in the spirit. I guess that's why Pat Robertson doesn't want the Affordable Care Act, because it somehow works into his con of faith healing. Now, by the way, an email coming in from our buddy Joe Ray, the Foxhole Atheist. Almost forgot to send this in, my two bits, Joe Ray says. All the talking heads, including Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz, are saying how if the protesters lose in Wisconsin, it's the end of the labor movement. This is wrong, Bob. The labor movement has been dead since Pappy Reagan killed them. America has been a silent corpse for this long time. Win or lose in Wisconsin and now other states, this is just the beginning. For what is happening is not about a labor movement. It is about small d, democracy. I think if they go home in Wisconsin, if those senators come back, it will be the end of organized labor as we know it. as we know it. It will be the end of that last shell of organized labor that exists in this country. But no, Joe is right. Organized labor has been largely dysfunctional. Frankly, going back past Reagan, I say the dysfunction in organized labor starts about the passage of the Taft-Hartley Act and then the amendments to the Fair Labor Standards Act of the late 1980s. That's the Reagan part. Well taken. Well taken, Joe. Onward, if you're still there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Tony?
How you doing? You know, going back to that revival you just was that a revival or one of those faith healing things?
Yeah, it was a faith healing revival.
You know what that reminds me of? You watch that show Ghost Adventures?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what that reminds me of.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, that show's been on for 3 years, and not one piece of hard physical evidence.
No.
Oh, I just retrieved the ability to smell. Really?
Right.
Really?
Well, you know, and that goes hand in hand with the fact that God runs around apparently curing cancer in people who had no formal diagnosis all the time. But by the same token, he's never grown back a limb. Not even so much as the last knuckle on a pinky.
And you know those dead souls, they talk about raising the dead in Africa because they're not Christians, so obviously their souls are dead. So the only reason they save their souls and they bring them back from the dead is they convert them, most likely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, going to that protest last night, or the night you went to.
Yeah, it wasn't even a protest. It was just a meeting. I wasn't protesting. I was just sitting quietly.
Did that kind of blow your mind that guy knew who you were?
Well, I introduced myself.
I understand that, but he obviously knew who you were.
Well, yeah.
Introduce yourself and know who you are, two different stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, can you imagine if they were hauling you to jail, you'd be like, no, you don't understand, I have a show to do in 12 hours. You know, it would have been funny, but you understand what I'm saying. Gladys would have had the substitute or something like that. Aggie.
Well, but she wasn't even here. See, that was the problem. There wouldn't even been anybody to get behind the microphone and beg for bail money.
Yeah, that would have been something. Yeah, I think your son.
No, I mean, I think John would have jumped into the breach. But he's busy, too.
Yeah, well.
And frankly, I hate the, you know, we have a hard enough time raising operating capital. Bail money's a whole nother.
You're right about that. A couple of things. I mean, you said that donation, your cruise was from a donation somebody gave you, or am I?
Well, it wasn't, no, the cruise itself was given to us. Yes.
How did that make you feel?
Humbled, ecstatic. Totally blown away. Inexpressible.
When you're out somewhere, when you're out walking around somewhere and somebody recognizes you, or I don't know if you've ever done this or not, you've been driving somewhere and you hear somebody listening to you, like on a computer or just anything, or somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, Bob, thanks for your show." That's got to be pretty rewarding.
It is. It's very rewarding. And that happened on the boat, the ship. I went expecting to, I wasn't a speaker. I wasn't on any panels. I just, you know, was a face in the crowd and sat on my hands. But there were a surprising number of people who came up and went, "Oh, you're Bob?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm Bob. Oh, listen to you all the time." In the chat room, you will periodically see, and he's in there now, Johnny O. He and his lovely wife came up and said, "Oh, hey, yeah, we're always there for Friday on the front porch, and we had a wonderful time."
Oh.
And of course, Fancy was there. You've heard Fancy on the program.
Sure.
And met a number of listeners. Great guy by the name of Bruce up in Wisconsin. We had some wonderful conversations, and they were. Well, Fancy took it upon herself, as did Bruce, and as did Johnny O and his lovely wife, took it upon themselves to, "Hey, that's Bob. You got to listen."
I was going to ask you something. I've listened to Mike Malloy for a long time, and whenever Kathy does her Laurel Pickles Bush things, those are pretty funny.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, they're the best. You met Kathy.
And Mike and Molly, yes.
Yeah. How gracious was Kathy? She really fun.
Oh, she's just wonderful. She could... She is. That is the word, gracious. She makes Martha Stewart and Paula Deen look like street hookers. She's just, and I don't mean anything. She's just that far. Just wonderful.
And funny.
Oh, hilarious.
A couple of things here. That Tea Party protest in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was watching the other day, and they had the Tea Party busting some protesters, right? This guy that they bust in, the leader of the protesters, one of the dudes, I think, I don't remember his name, but he had an East Coast draw. Bob, I swear to God. Remember The Godfather?
Yeah.
I swear to God, he was Lou Gabrowski.
Lou Gabrowski? I mean, sleeps with the fishes?
Yeah, it sounded just like that dude. I'm telling you, Bob, this guy, he was not from Wisconsin.
No. They bust them in. Americans for Prosperity, funded by the Koch brothers, got busloads of little teabaggers and bust them into Wisconsin to try to intimidate the folks, the grassroots folks on the ground there.
If you turned your back on this guy, you'd be sleeping with the fishes. I'm sorry, Bob. He had that Eastern raw. He was right out of The Godfather. I'm serious. It was pretty. It was actually
thugs is thugs.
Yeah, thugs is thugs. I'm gonna move from one thing to another. I hope you don't mind.
Bounce all around, all you want.
Okay, the Obama thing with that guy Raymond Davis.
Yeah.
The CIA guy. Since when have our diplomats been attached to Blackwater? I didn't know that was like a requirement.
Is that out now that he's actually Blackwater?
Oh yeah, he's connected with Blackwater. I mean, when did our diplomats have to be? I guess it's a new prerequisite now. You have to be.
Well, he was a contractor for the CIA, because it's easier to contract out a Blackwater thug than it is to actually have civil servants in the CIA and pay them and pensions and defined benefit plans and 401ks or whatever and health care. No, you just get a Blackwater guy.
That kind of blew up in their face, though. I mean, Obama kind of ended up looking like a clown on that one. Because he was calling him a diplomat, and then also he had to change his tune. So I think that guy, he's in trouble. I was watching Mosaic TV, and they were showing protests in Pakistan, and they had a fence around where they were keeping him, and people were screaming, they had signs saying hang him. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but Obama definitely came out short of that. He kind of looked foolish trying to say he was a diplomat when he really wasn't. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but. He's like I said, he was defending himself. The guy was running away, or he had to shoot him in the back to make sure he didn't get up or something. I don't know how that works. But anyway. Also, did you ever get Judge Mark Cavalera, I believe, and Michael Conan, the ones that got arrested for funding, putting kids in work jails?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that story's been a long time developing. Out of Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah, those guys, they got released today. They got bail.
Oh, my God.
And they got bail, and the mother of one of the kids that he put away, the kid committed suicide, and she was screaming at him as he was going down the steps. And
I think that was actually a couple of days ago, but, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty dramatic. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, if you want to do things, that's fine. If you don't want to do things, that's fine. But when you start selling out kids, that's just... I mean, where does the greed end?
Well, and that was driven, and I think this is the important part of that story, Tony, that was driven by for-profit prison industries.
If we privatize prisons, you're going to see that all over the place.
Oh, I'm sure it's already happening all over the place.
Yeah. Couple more things. I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently, I hope I'm saying this right, Bob Franklin, or Frankel, he's just passed a law making abortions illegal. I might be wrong. Or if a woman...
He proposed one. Yeah, this is Bobby Franklin is a creep from Georgia.
Apparently, from
and his role in life is apparently to propose waste the taxpayers of Georgia's dollars, proposing utter insanity. He's introduced bills to eliminate the income tax, He has introduced bills barring the state from requiring vaccinations. He introduced a bill recently that would have required state taxpayers to only pay their taxes in gold or silver and the state to honor its obligations only in gold or silver. And, yeah, now he has introduced a bill in the state of Georgia that would force any woman who had had a miscarriage to prove that it happened naturally.
Oh, that's retarded.
Or otherwise the woman would face felony charges.
And how do you go about proving that?
Well, you know, you can't prove a negative.
Bingo, that's like saying...
In other words, in de facto, every miscarriage would be felonious.
That's ridiculous.
And this guy, is he's a... I'm not sure where he's from in Georgia. It's damn certain he's not from Atlanta. But this is one of those guys, Tony, that makes me take a look at it and say, hey, I really, really do want to go and meet the people in his district. Just to say, do you know what this guy's doing? And here's the fun part. They'll say, yes, we do, and we approve. And if we could just get back this country to Jesus like Bobby Franklin wants us to, we would be blessed by the Lord again, and that Negro in the White House would be, all our intercessory prayers would be answered, and that Kenyan fascist Muslim, he'd be gone, and we'd have good God-fearing Republicans in the White House. I don't know, maybe like Mike Huckabee.
You know that it's only a matter of time. Like you said, all this ridiculous stuff about Sharia law, I mean, he's not far from putting something on the papers for that, too. You know, that's next.
Well, yeah, and you can only hope that Alabama will beat him to the punch.
Yeah. You know, getting back to the beginning of the show, when you paid that song by Rage Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom Morello, actually. But,
yeah, Tom Morello, yeah. But, yeah, but you know, you understand the point I'm trying to make. You know, it kind of, I mean, I'm 52. I don't know how old you are, but...
48.
You know, I remember some of the 60s, and, you know, it kind of took you back a little bit. I was like, wow, you know what I mean? I was too young to go to the protest, all that stuff, but you kind of...
No, he's out front. I saw, I think it was David from Maine who said he's out front with the first anthem for all of this, and I think David was right.
I'll tell you one thing. It just goes to show where we're at with our party and our people. I mean, these Republicans, they drag out these old fossils like Charlie Daniels and Ted Nugent, right?
Yeah.
These idiots, and they only have one speed, and the message just gets boring and tired. And we can come up with guys like this who can actually, now Rage Against the Machine isn't playing that much anymore. Obviously, they're not together, but, I mean, come on. I mean, who would you rather go see?
Oh, no. Well, yeah. We've got Tom Morello. They've got Ted Nugent. I'll take the Tom Morello tickets.
I mean, it's just, you know, these old, tired, fossils, these guys... You know, it's just, when you look at Ted Nugent now, you almost go like, he's kind of a cartoon character, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that kind of stuff might have worked in the 60s, but you know what,
No. In the 1960s, when he was called upon to serve his country in Vietnam, do you know this story, Tony?
Oh, I think he, didn't he not, like, not bathe for a
while? He didn't bathe and didn't change clothes for 2 weeks and didn't bother going to the bathroom. For 2 weeks, he defecated and urinated on himself and then went to the draft board.
And that's how he got out of it?
Yeah.
Not to mention the underage wife he picked.
And then he. She was like a foster daughter at one point.
Yeah, wasn't she like 14?
Yeah.
He couldn't wait. I mean.
No, she was a kid. I mean, if she was 14, he probably would have been charged. But who knows?
And, you know, they have, Sean will have him on his show and they just hail that guy. That's why, I guess, the radio show, because you can only, like, you have different points of view. You'll go all over the place, but if you have one straight point of view, and it's the same thing over and over, then, you know, after a while, you'll get a core audience, but you won't grow. I mean, like, we've talked about
Well, but he ain't hurting for bucks. You know, they called him the Motor City Madman.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't Motor City no more. He's got a big old compound down in Texas.
Yeah.
Where he shoots, well, you know, we're mutual fans of Tony Bourdain, right?
Oh, I saw that show. Yeah, it was a great show. Except for that, well, I could have dealt without the guns, but other than that.
Yeah, but he went to visit. Tony went to visit Ted Nugent and shot machine guns with him.
Yeah, to be honest with you, if I went to go visit anybody, famous or not, the last thing I want to do is fire guns. But that's another story. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm a redneck. It's kind of fun, but
it is fun. Don't get me wrong. I've fired off a few rounds in my life, but you understand what I'm saying. That's not going to be the sole reason I came down there.
No.
But a couple more things, and I'll let you go. I know you're running out of time. How do you think this thing in Wisconsin is going to turn out? I mean, we have to win this. If we don't win this, we're it's not the end of it. It's just the beginning. But
it's kind of like Joe Ray said. It will certainly be the end if they don't stand their ground. It will be the end of public employee unions in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because they'll never go back. I want to think the threats of layoffs were a brutal bit of thuggishness on Scott Walker's part. And frankly, if he follows through on it, then stuff's going to start coming unglued in Wisconsin, especially in state government.
Yeah,
and the people of Wisconsin are not going to stand still for that.
You know, you're right about that.
You know, one of the interesting things, they criticize the teachers' unions in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I think Wisconsin is overall number two in the country in, public school ACT, SAT scores.
What does that say about a state that owns their football team? I mean, maybe this is the way to go.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got a lot on the ball.
There you go.
If I had some sort of magical powers, I would geographically shift Wisconsin and Alabama and move to Wisconsin tomorrow.
That would be a smart move.
I just can't stand not seeing the ground until June.
Yeah, that's true.
God, it's such a beautiful place, though. I mean, and I'm such a pitiful Southerner. I may actually get to see Wisconsin. And I'm so anxious to, because I've wanted to go there for a very, very, very long time. I mean, Jesus, it's Wisconsin. It's beer mecca in America, right?
Sure.
Because it's beautiful. David in Tennessee has told me many times about what a magical place it is. And so I'm looking forward to maybe getting to see Wisconsin and getting to see another state I've never seen this summer, I hope, Netroots Nation and trying to continue our work, bringing people to the struggle against mountaintop removal there.
Where's that going to be at this year?
Minneapolis, third week of June.
Cool.
Second or third week of June.
Okay, three more things and I'll let you go.
Okay.
Number one, those Indian guys, the ones that the mountaintop thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shashi and Ravi Ruia of SR Industries.
Yeah, doesn't the local politicians and business people, don't they? You would think they'd...
Oh, no, the business people are catching on real quick.
Are they?
Yeah, but the politicians, well, we've got one county commissioner who probably has the guts to stand up to them. The other two probably do not.
Well, hopefully they'll wake up.
No, they won't.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Oh, if they asked you to be a spokesman with your radio show and it required spending more time going on the road and speaking out and stuff, obviously with the wonders of internet, you could probably do your podcast. I'm using that word podcast. Obviously, it's a broadcast, but I'm using that word podcast. I think we'd understand. If you wanted to go 3 days a week or 2 days a week just to get this thing going, would it be something you'd consider doing?
No, because we'd go under. I was gone for a week, and funding for the horn collapsed.
Damn.
We made it back up with some real generosity from about six people, but we're still struggling to get, miss a day, miss a night. Okay, yeah. I would love to travel with the show there, but again, that's another one of those things where we'd have to raise enough money to buy some technology stuff. I'd love to, and I love traveling with the show. I love doing remotes and things like that, but it takes a plum ton of money to do that kind of thing. Like sometimes I go to Washington, D.C. for these events, and those events I go because our travel expenses are covered. You know, food and stuff on the ground? No. but at least our, you know, our travel expenses are covered. And that's really the only time I go anywhere is if it is covered. Oh, by the way, here's an update for you. Jude just wrote in. Bobby Franklin is from Cobb County, Georgia. And Cobb County is a hotbed of right-wing evangelical fundamentalism. To give you an idea, Cumming, Georgia, C-U-M-M-I-N-G, Cumming, Georgia, is part of Cobb County. And I remember when I lived down there, they actually had a march there because Cumming, Georgia did not, and this was the late 80s, Tony, Cumming, Georgia did not allow dark-skinned people to live there.
Oh, that's retarded.
In the late 1980s.
That's retarded. Two more things and I'll let you go. You know, my background, we've talked about this before. There's no way in hell Sharia law is ever going to take over in this country. That's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go to Tennessee and wash my feet if I were you.
And then last thing is, I haven't been in the chat room that lately, but it looks like Cos was in there for a little while today.
Yeah, he did. He popped in a little bit and then went and took a break. He's
I didn't get a chance to say to type him in too much, but if he's still listening, which he might be resting, it's understandable. We haven't. I don't know if you've noticed, but he hasn't been in there for a while, so it was kind of good to see him back in even for a little while. So I hope he's doing okay. And if you're listening, Cos, it's all good, brother. Keep it up. And it was nice to see him back in the chat room for a little bit.
Cool. Thanks, Tony.
You know what I mean? Take care, boss.
All right. See ya. Bye now.
Okay, see ya.
That's our official Las Vegas liaison. That's Tony. And let's see. Do I have time to do this? Let's try to get one more call in. Or maybe not. Nope, everybody gave up. Everybody knows. You guys watch the clock tighter than I do. So that's it for our prayer meeting Wednesday. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for the great conversation. Thanks for sort of keeping me awake. I am going immediately to bed. I'm licked. We will be back tomorrow evening. And just a quick update on Darlene's challenge. Let's see. What do we got here? $50. So we are $150 away from meeting Darlene's challenge. She, if we get $200 worth of 10 or whatever you feel like sending contributions in, she will match it with her own $200. And I thank her, and I thank you. I also thank, of course, always everyone who makes all of this go, including Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, our blogger Texas Betsy. Matt Osborne of OsborneInc.com is our Southeast correspondent, and you heard from him this evening. Our op-ed columnist is Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy, something in the works coming along, I'm sure, soon, no doubt. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, who make all of the technical ends of this program sort of meet and come together and work. And part of the reason that I'm able to go over and have the guts to do that whole Psalm 23rd Psalm, prepare us to table before me in the presence of my enemies thing, is because of the guts that I've been taught to have by the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org, partial sponsors of everything that happens on the Horn, and one of the continuing reasons why the Horn continues to exist. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next, live from Wisconsin. If you're not listening to Rick Smith, you don't know what's happening in Wisconsin.
There's a lot of bad words.